Assembly spoken out. They went to this meeting on economic finance, the second in the series of meetings where we deal with the and invite the provincial treasuries to come and make presentations on their fiscal position of the province. Also welcome to the National Treasury that gives us as first item on the agenda the overview of every province. They will do that, dealing with each province in the same briefing document. And then we will give each province the opportunity to do their presentation. The Treasury will get 45 minutes, that's 15 minutes per province, and then every province will get 30 minutes to do their presentation. Deliberations, that means the questions by the honourable members for 20 minutes, and please, honourable members, be short and direct with your questions. So you will have to listen carefully to each presentation and listen to your question. And after that, the reply by each province, we will give each province 20 minutes. And lastly, again, the president has to give the input. So that will be the order of the meeting. The objective of these meetings is good governance and sound financial management to enhance compliance with the PFMA and very, very important, the Constitution. Respect for the legislation that deals with the finances of this country. Why? We are accountable to the people while the taxes are being spent. And money must be spent wisely. We are activists for what? To crack down on corruption. Yes, we are activists for change. Why? To improve the lives of our people. About the division of revenue. This is how the taxpayers' money is divided between the three spheres of government. The document and the members must be in your briefcase every day. Especially when you do your constituency work, to explain to our people where does the money come from and where it's going to. And what is the role of that person in Paris, living in Flynn Street number 53? This is a hooder. What's your job? To watch how the money is being spent in Paris. Is the local government doing its work? Is the national provincial government delivering? The role of the citizens, the active role. That's why we have the activist parliament. We've got the analysis from the National Treasury. Thank you, former members. You also received the analysis, the research document. So the Treasury prepared that on each province. Thank you for that information. And without any other to do, we're going straight to the Treasury to start the presentation. We've got 45 minutes. Apologies. None received, but we see two are absent, and the other one is our committee book. She's in charge with the chief work on the matter. You may proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. This pandemic has several ways of managing risk in the provincial of government, and among others, we could need the provincial budget process. We coordinate the provincial budget process through the benchmarking provincial budget for customer services. And normally we do this benchmarking in December and January at the moment. So in December we look at the budget to ensure that next time when we see the progress in January, we take into account the recommendations that we make. Also we monitor and analyze the provincial spending. We publish the quarterly report in terms of Section 32 of the PFMA. Conditional grant allocation, we monitor, we report, and also we include the compliance enforcement where the province is not spending, we withhold and stock funds and then we reallocate other provinces. And also in terms of monitoring, we do the provincial visits, after the quota staging, and also we do the infrastructure visits. And also we do brief the minister on the risk which is part of our project experiencing. Also we do also provide briefing to the MCs through Budget Council and also the heads of department through the TCF. Also when we identify the lack of capacity, we do provide training to officials in the provinces. The next slide that shows the adjustments to main budget for each province, and we'll see that the total adjustment to the budget of Eastern Cape was 1.8 billion. In the case of Limpopo, the total adjustment was 1.2 billion. And in the case of Northern Cape, their budget was adjusted by 26.6 billion, which includes both the national allocation and the provincial allocation. And then the next slide, we look at aggregate spending of provinces at the end of the third quarter. You see that only two provinces then projected to underspend, was Eastern Cape and Western Cape. And then the rest of the provinces were projected to overspend, with Limpopo projecting gain at that point in time by 280 million, and then another in Cape was predicted to overspend by 89 million. Sorry. The next slide says whether provinces are controlling personnel correctly, or and we know that we look in this slide, only look at education and health, and we see that there's been a minimal growth in the personnel numbers of both sectors. Even though in the case of Eastern Cape in education, in the second quarter the numbers went down, and then again they replaced those educators because we need educators in education. So therefore, it's important that if the educators have left, they do replace those educators. Same will apply to health, that we need service delivery to have. So therefore, it's important that the two sectors who have personnel to provide service to the people. And then the next slide we get is in case at 31 December in detail. And at that point in time, education selected to understand by 482 million. And it was mostly on infrastructure development. It was mostly on infrastructure development. And if you look at them in health, they also projected to understand, and in their case was mostly on goods and services. However, when you look at transfers, which is mostly related to litigation to the department, they had already spent 151% on the budget. So there was that sense of, in the case of health, it looks like they were just understanding, but if you look in detail in terms of the budget, there were other issues that were there. Roads and public works at that time, they were projected to overspend mostly on goods and services and payments for capital. And the human settlement, they were the highest spender in the province, but they spent 83.8% of their budget at that time. So if you look into the economy classification, spending mostly on payments for capital, that's 414.6 million was mainly on education. And to look at transfer and subsidies, it was that projected expenditure at that time was mostly education and health. We look at Limpopo. Limpopo education, they spent in December 72.7% of their budget, and they were projecting to break even. But if you look into the details of their budget and expenditure, they were projecting an under expenditure of 328 million on compensation of employees, and over expenditure on goods and services, among others, towards the school nutrition program, and then kind of transport and operating uses. In the case of health, the over expenditure was mostly on on Google services. In the, at that time, your laboratory services have already exceeded the budget, your contracts have made these calls. Our people, like the specialists, don't have in the public sector to work in our hospitals, although they exceeded the budget at times. The property payment, the issues there, Open sense, I think in Limpopo was that cooperative governance and human settlement, they were the lowest spending department at that time. They had only spent 56.8 and it mainly to the UN Settlement Development Grant in the sense that they spend only 49% on transfer household. When we go to Northern Cape, Pacific 1 December 2015. Education has closing on social services, even though there was a projection to achieving and projection to understand. In the case of health, there are two issues actually that are the scale has in health, because they were spending on capital at that time, while they also, their goods and services, as a result of the course of the previous year, they were projecting to overspend. So it's like this department, I mean, the unauthorized expense of the province, most of the time has been caused by this Department of Health. So even in terms of economic classification, that we're spending on good sense, the province is always being said for the result of health in this case. And the next slide was just explaining in detail that there was that project on expense of 10.8 million. And then COE was projected to understand the result of the moratorium that is in place for filling of funded vacant posts. And then you see that the project of expenditure on goods and services mainly as a result of from the Department of Health. A transfer and subsidies project were overspent by 19.3 million mainly on sports agriculture. Even though they were the lowest spender in the province, spending at 54.3%. Payments for capital was also overspent by 18 million mainly because of agriculture and education. education spending at the end of this quarter was very low, since then this commitment was expected to be paid in the last quarter. I've already indicated that we have the problem with Akua, the Department of Health, and in 2016, the opening balance was 322.7. And by December, they already paid 97% of those accruals. As a result, they had 8.8 million outstanding now. They had already had accruals of the 2015 sickness results. They had the accruals amount of 107. As I December 2015. Economic development was projected to overspend by 14 million due to the shortfall on hosts the Kimberley Diamond Hub. So to avoid on spending, so they forced donor funding from mining, and also at that time expecting to keep expenses from action. So agriculture has been developed. There was no spending mainly on conditional grants. The next slide we look at spending at 31 March 2016. At that 31 March 2016, Eastern Cape was the second province with the highest underspending in terms of monetary terms. Regarding in terms of essential care, they had the highest overexpenditure to get their budget in comparison to their budget. And Limpopo also underspent by 921.8 million, while Northern Cape underspent 177.5 million. Looking at Eastern Cape, where the problem was, education. They understand all their programs except exam services. That's unlike the Nisha actually for, because SRZ was given budget, the other spending on capital was 460 or so. So now it increased to 762 at the end of the financial year. And also there was an expenditure on COE and goods and services. So actually at the end of the financial year, on capital expenditure, they only spent 49.2%. In the case of health, all programs except provincial health services were also underspent. And underspend was mostly on goods and services. They also overspend on transfers. One of the departments also that recorded high unexpenditure was the provincial treasury. So if you look at economic classification, there's the payment for capital is the lowest spent at 8.4%. From this 867 million, 7.62 from only education. So we're worried about the delivery of infrastructure in education in Eastern Cape. And the next slide is just explaining some of this to say the province understand that. The 1 December is saying they're going to understand by 2016. By March, the situation was worse. It increased to 2.1 billion. So for the indicated that mostly it's compensation, education, capital and goods and services. Also, economic health also underpinned by 106 million goods and services, like indicated. Some of them is those critical areas we hope, even though there was an expenditure, there was in the delivery in the case of medicine, medical supplies, free services. Also, Department of Economic Development also understands the equipment across all items of investigation. I've already indicated that Treasure also understands. So, we acknowledge that there are controls in personal roles in the province and they are imperative. So, but we say there must be managing efficiency. And also, they need to have a certain desire to feel pulled, does not get positive loss to the salary. In the case of Limpopo, they understand the identity area by 921.8. Education understanding by 138.2. It's mostly on administration program and to some extent ECD also is one of the programs. And overspend, they've overspent on their compensation of employees. They've underspent on social services and transfers to NGOs or to schools is the one because the department is one of those that are not adequately funding the schools as the long-term standards. The next big one that we're worried about is the cooperative governance and human settlement. In the sense that they understand by 711 and it's mainly on the human settlement grant. And in the 2013-14 and 2014-15, the grant was stopped in the province and reallocated to other provinces. So what that if the province does not improve on this grant, they might lose money again in the future. So when we go to the next slide, it just summarizing some of the things that I've just indicated. That one of the reasons for the low spend on human settlement include the delays and later abandonment of contractors, as well as this has been not invoiced by service providers, including delays in processing, which will lead to accruals for the ensuing years. So we're saying the inadequate spending on core areas are remaining issues in Limpopo with regard to medicine and medical supplies. While their services seems not to be adequately because they have received its budget in spite of receiving additional allocation during the government budget process. When we look at Northern Cape, Education, they spend 9.6% of their budget. They are underpinned by 19 million. That's mainly on COE and CPES. With regard to health, they had they overspend on goods and services, and they underspend on capital. The issues that are there in December, they still continue because they still overspend on goods and services, and they still underspend on capital. So we'll go to the next slide to look at what were the problems, what were the risks then. Conditional grant spending was at 98.2%. The net contributor being sports and culture, health and human settlement. The department has applied for lovers for the funds that are committed. The total COE spending for the province was 77.8 billion or 99.1%, and they understand that 72 million because of financing codes that were not used to the control measures that are in place. Goods and services understand that 1.9. However, education, health, development from health treasury and proctor, they overspend their goods and services. Total transfers was at 101, which means they've overspent because education takes lead priority to educators that resign. Payments for capital, it was spent by 81, and indicated that one of the main contributors is health. In the case of education, the understanding was as a result of the delays in form of post as their control measures implemented in the province. Health, the understanding on capital was as a result of the slow construction of the ongoing infrastructure projects, including the metro hospitals, the conversion of EMS vehicles, and the payment of medical business of the new GR hospital. And it was saying their compensation of business for 1.3 million. So the items that contributed to Wooden Service was overspent at 60 million as a result of the items that have always contributed to the accruals in the province. Further and culture, the understanding is mainly due to the relation to the delivery of the Mandela Legacy Project. Also, the work program in place, it was for the whole province. And in case of payments for capital, it is because of the slow delivery of labor in the province. So the others are taken because of the small departments. The next thing just shows how the department, the province that depend on the energy support material is the important service delivery item in education that is in case underpinned by 131, they call the highest and expenditure. And you both also slightly and understand also what are in case. But you must notice that some provinces are participate in the transversal contracts in the case of leadership support mixer organized by the CO, therefore savings have been realized. In the case of medicine, isn't it again has a higher understanding here, just like I stated earlier that we hope that even though they understand on both medicine and medical supply that a serious delivery was done. And also Limpopo underspent by 119 million on medicine. Modern case, they overspent by 23 million in that area. So in the case of medical supplies, all these three provinces have underspent on medical supplies. In the case of laboratory services, both Eastern Cape and Limpopo, they overspent, which shows that this area, they do have a pressure, unlike in the previous slide, where they understand on both medicine and medical supplies. Looking briefly at the table budgets, this slide will show that certain cases when you spend the percent of their budget on compensation of employees, and Limpopo is the province with the highest percentage, or that they are spending the highest percentage in country, but spending above 70%, while the other provinces are just spending, others are spending below 60%. So it's on average, I think, are spending around 60%. So even Cape and Limpopo can see that they are spending above average with regards to compensation of employees across provinces. This slide just shows the fiscal framework of Eastern Cape. And it just shows that if you look at the payment, that education is actually funded, and health is also actually funded to look at the growth rate, and social development to some extent. And there's the province who have surpluses. when you look at education, even though the budget is growing above inflation, but we're saying that, like I indicated, compensation of employees' budget is cutting out the goods and services, which show a negative growth. In 2016, there was no growth at all over the NTF. The people's budget grows adequately, but you must remember that in the current financial year, in the previous financial year, 2016, they underspend by 7%. Therefore, it's got an impact on growth rate of the department. So, they've got three of local votes to do because they underspend in the previous financial year. Health also, the picture looks good in aggregate, but if you look at provincial hospital services, they're not allocated by the DEXCO. So, there's a risk there that program will overspend in 2016-17. There was also a risk of civically varying willing to use clinic usage in procuring of medical equipment for the clinic. So I think the possible MTF funding risk of services concerning trend noted in the 2016 is the increase in top management personnel in the province. While there is a dependent number of civil delivery personnel in the province. Sorry about that. In the case of education, we do have a high turnover of educators leaving the public service. So that one goes there because we'll find learners without educators. In terms of cost-cutting measures, management of personnel has improved significantly in terms of numbers and expenditure. Compensation of employees is under control in most departments or in central growth run by the Office of Premier and the provincial treasury. Also, the financial services are identified and are growing at their pay minimum. So in summary, we are saying the province should be able to manage its financial liquidity over 2016 MTS. I would look at Limpopo. I would look at payments, services spending. Education and health seem to be fine in year 2016-17, but social development budget is much lower, the growth is much lower, so something needs to be done. There might be a risk of overexpenditure by departments. They've also budgeted for surplus, but mostly the other plus is to provide for the unauthorized, accumulated unauthorized expenditure. In terms of cost-cutting measures, the government has a committed process of managing the process of paying of cost-cutting food. Prior approval by the Limpopo Provincial Treasury and before departments advertise cost. The measures to control and manage actively the thing of cost. Non-essential services also are growing at a bare minimum. In terms of the measures recommended to manage this cost, include concerted effort to find innovations to increase own revenue streams, including increasing the collection of payments into property of state and public rights, roads and infrastructure. They must continue to increase and utilize infrastructure allocation professionals and develop capacity with infrastructure, you can ensure that they're able to spend Kundisha grants. And also, too, because in terms of the infrastructure grants, if you do well, there is an incentive component that you will receive. So, but if you don't play well and perform, you won't qualify for the incentive. There must be also extraordinary measures to deal with hyperpolis of compensation, as I indicated that Limpopo Province is the only one that is spending about 70% of their budget on compensation of employees. So also we are saying there's a need to review the role of their business enterprise public entities. In the case of Northern Cape, to look at also the agreement of all those three departments has growing only by 0.6%, which is a worry given that they've always had issues with their water services. The province also has budgeted for surplus, which is for the debt redemption strategy or the unauthorized expenditure in the province. The amazing personnel aware as they do have a moratorium of single vacant posts that are for non-critical, non-critical posts, a patient in your health allowed to fill those posts for the delivery. In the case of health, there's a minimal growth in their budget. Still is growing below inflation, but has 5.6, and we know that for salaries of on level 1 up to 10 for this year, the salary increase at 7.6%, so therefore the might be pressure in the case of health in the current financial year. I've already indicated that Akua has continued to put health in the health, but the provincial treasurer has appointed an official to assist in that area to improve controls, including centralization of payments, determine the real extent of accruals, identification and protection of earmarked funding in the system, and overall budget control, including usage and proper cash flow management. In terms of contacting measures, particularly on goods and services, the province has improved efficiency on more of the goods and services items. Except I can not driven by conditional funds. In the case of provincial own revenue, most items have under-collected in the province, and they also put the risk of under-collection on revenue over the NTF. So the province has several identified strategies to deal with improved revenue, among others. They will focus on assisting health to improve revenue collection by strengthening systems as a center of collection, establish inspection units which will assist in strengthening control in revenue collection centers, and also increase the number of inspectors to eradicate illegal gambling in the province. The provincial government has also worked to move the function of motor vehicle licenses to the South African Post Office as we had challenges previously with the municipality.
Thank you to the Treasury, all the members of the Treasury. Remember, this is very important information. It is also captured in the presentation of the provinces, so we go. I'm not going to ask for questions now. A hearty warm welcome to our Honourable MECs. You are the first MECs to appear before this committee. This is our second meeting since last week. And thank you for honouring this. It's important that the MEC is also present, because the MEC is the political head of that department. But the MEC must also lead by example. National Council of Provinces has a provincial mandate. How do we, at national level, assist our provinces? in going forward, in enhancing economic growth, create employment. The economy in our cities, the economy in our bigger towns, the economy in our townships. The Prevention, Growth and Development Strategy. How does that fit into the national strategy? That's a meeting, that's a separate meeting. I just want to bring things together. Quite important that MCs are here. And thank you for being here. I'm going to allow each MEC, which promised to make his input, and then also introduce the team, and then carry on with the presentation. The first province we will take is Limpopo. I want to stress, we're not here to fight with you. Because sometimes in the past, when you call provinces, the MEC come, they start getting jittery. There's no reason for that. We are here to correct the provincial interest at the national level. Thank you for in your presentation. I worked through it. The cruel, the unauthorized expenditure, irregular expenditure. Last year it didn't feature so seriously, but thank you for bringing it into your presentation because that gives you a fiscal position. What's your allocation for national treasury? What is your own revenue? Because your own revenue gives them that space to do more. If that space shrinks, you can do less. If it widens, you can do more, as in Gauteng. They've got 7.8 billion rand available. They've got space to move. Things like that. So firstly, you're going to take Limpopo. Although MEC, you are out of your province, is out of section 101A, congratulations. You got the steering wheel in your hands and improving the province under very difficult circumstances. We are also mindful of the fact what happened in Mohali. Before I came to this meeting this morning on the e-news, trucks moving into Limpopo, into that area with mobile classrooms, delivering. Parents escorting the children to school because of their safety. So the community and government come together to rectify what went wrong. And I think that is not the picture that we want the world to see. Our classrooms are being done down. We don't want marches. We want people in the street clapping hands and singing, hallelujah, thank you for what we're getting. I want to see that picture. Although MEC, over to you and your team. You've got something. I'm going to give you 8:35 minutes because of the treasury. Thank you, treasury.
Thank you very much, our chairperson. All the members and my colleagues from the provinces, the MECs, heads of departments and their teams. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for this opportunity. We will be discussing the third and fourth quarter financially. There are 82 slides in our presentation, Honourable Chair. So therefore, I'll just talk to pertinent issues, if that's appropriate. The narrative is there, and I think Honourable Members can take that. As a province, as an economy, we are largely driven by primary and tertiary sector of the economy with a minimal high value of economic activities. And as you are aware, due to the shocks globally, obviously commodity demand is down, and as a province we are driven by mining. We do have to sign a stable outlook reflect on policymaker commitments in the managing our government debt and broad political support for our macroeconomic strategy, including the National Development Plan and in our instance the Global Development Plan. Given the business expansion, new business venture governments is under pressure to stimulate the economic growth. Our growth, as I mentioned, Honourable Chair, is driven mainly by mining. A dip contract between the years 2006-2009 due to the global economic meltdown in 2008, and our economy did suffer negative growth from 4.4% in 2006 to a negative 1.2% in 2009. We have recovered somewhat, although still very slow. In 2014, our growth was 0.9%, and it will remain sluggish going forward. The drought has had enormous effect on our province. And as you know, the demand for commodities has subsided quite substantially. This is just our Limpopo DBA average growth. You can see we put a line through the national norm, Limpopo being the yellow line. This is our economic growth, the mining sector being the largest driver, community services, trade, and the trade sector contribute 27, 34, and 16% respectively in 2014. Our mining sector has grown, has increased substantially from 50% to 96% to 28% in 2014. However, where we think we can create jobs in agriculture and manufacturing, this has declined substantially, so we do have to concentrate on that sector, those three sectors. Again, just continuing on the economic growth, we have to obviously try and shift from being a raw material exporter and do beneficiation, which will have a huge multiplier effect. Then we'll have to look at our SMEs, small emerging farmers, that need both financial and non-financial assistance to remain profitable and preserve job cuts and able to absorb low skilled and income working groups. Our administration and local authorities need to assist the national government by maintaining prudent fiscal management, social and political stability, and growing the national debt to GDP will risk the country by decreasing its creditworthiness, and the provincial fiscal policy can be used to support economic growth, job creation, and improve the living standards of the citizens by prudent expenditure plans. The province requires economic growth of at least 3% going forward to absorb jobs and reduce the economic and income divide of our society. The LDD, which is the Limpopo Development Plan, provides those fundamentals in taking our economy forward. As far as the population growth is concerned, we've grown by 1.6% since 1.7% since 2002. Our G coefficient has reduced somewhat since 2004, which is a good indication that we are having some impact with our budget. Limpopo Human Development Index is between 0.6 and 0.603, which means that we have a medium human development index in our province. Limpopo people living below the lower poverty line, as you can see, this has gone down to 42.6% higher. In this year, Honourable Chair, it has risen substantially. And again, there you can have a look. In the region that I come from, we have an unemployment rate of 48%. So yes, unemployment is a serious risk. It's something that we really need to work hard and see how we can resolve the matter. In Mopani, where I come from, 48 to 52% unemployment, which is quite alarming. This is an indication of our households receiving basic services. We acknowledge and we are aware of our formal refuse removal, which is very low compared to the national norm. However, our electrical connections are above the national norm. Our water pipe into communities is not up to the national norm. It's something that we're concentrating on. We have constant discussions with the Department of Water and Sanitation on this matter. Again, getting back to sanitation, as you can see, not there yet. However, there is growth. And with our formal drillings, we're definitely above the national norm, so we are keeping up the pace as we should, honourable members. As far as our own revenue is concerned, Chair, we did predict to collect 976 million, and we eventually collected 1.2, which is a substantial increase in what we projected to collect. 1.2 billion is what we collected in the financial year. Indeed. So the overall collection was 6.4 million contributed by Treasury, Education and Coxter, the interest earned on the favorable bank balances and the recovery of previous financial year's expenditure. Economic development, health and public works were the main contributors to provincial own revenue, have under-collected their set targets, or late transfers to the provincial revenue fund from public entities. The under-collection of patient fees is something that we're working on, and then the cash flow management challenges of the road accident fund. And then we've got a serious challenge about collecting rentals, public works. We have engagements with them. There's a substantial amount of money that's outstanding in our rentals, and we need to work on that. This is just for classification, which I won't elaborate on, but there it is broken down exactly what we do. Obviously, in a perfect world, we wouldn't be collecting money from interest, because the government is supposed to spend, not necessarily save. However, we do generate a substantial amount of money from interest generated in our accounts. This is, again, just a narrative on what we collect our money from. As you can see, over collection due to improved family and economic development, There's an increased collection on vehicle impound fees, as well as the contribution of the of NEMA, and the positive interest earned on the federal provincial bank balances, and improved recovery of the registered debts, sales of goods. Underperformance is due to less collection on property rentals, patient fees, and disposable assets, and the collection of 15.7 million on transfers received from as a result of the recovery of previous transfers to the Bulawayo Housing Association for housing projects. This is just the challenges that is hampering us with regard to revenue collection to optimize it. One of the issues is the transfer of license fees from municipality to the regional revenue fund. You will understand that the likes of Tubbs and B can't do it because it essentially is broke. So we have to do something about that going forward. And I like the idea of the Northern Cap using the post office. I think that we have to look at to try and improve the collection of our license fees. As far as expenditure is concerned, Chair, the third and fourth quarter gives you an indication, but essentially we spent 98.3% of our budget at the end of the fourth quarter. Compensation of employees was 37.8 billion, and we are as concerned as you are with regard to the cost of our employees being 71% of the total budget. And the underspending was mostly to do with delays and appointments of funded vacant posts and resignations. Goods and services spent 7.1 billion or 98.3%. The underspend 125.1 billion of the adjusted budget. Transfers and subsidies recorded expenditure of 6 billion. The underspending of 580 million rand was, as was mentioned by National Treasury, to do with the delay of implementation of housing projects. Payments of capital assets 92%. The underspending of 155 million rand, which will be elaborated on. And then province underspent the 15-16 budget by 921.8 million rand or 1.7%. A vast improvement in the last two, from the last two financial years, Honourable Chair. We'll get to education. Education has been interesting. I'd just like to remind the Honourable Members that we are still implementing Section 18 of the PFMA in the Department of Education. We have now put in an additional warm body, in particular in the Finance Division. Just a reminder that Section 18 allows us only to focus on the finance and other control issues within the department. We are starting to see improvements. In fact, in the previous, in this current financial year you're talking about, Honourable Chair, we, as you can see, they overspent about 21 million and however, we did, in our intervention, discover that there was a lot of over-budgeting within the compensation of employees. Goods and services underspent by 83 million, and this was due to the delayed procurement of outdoor equipment for the ECD centres, as well as the reduced running costs of vehicles. Transfers and subsidies underspent by 90 million, and this was due to leave gratuities and transfers to the Education Development Trust and schools. CapEx spent at 1 billion, 99%, and the underspending of 10 million annual on machinery and equipment, and to that of finalising and billing process for school furniture. Main program, public ordinary schools, spent 100% of their budget, and this program is responsible for the public ordinary schools, which comprise of 3,910 schools, minus 24, if we remind ourselves about one. But it's something that we, obviously, is a huge pressure that we have, because we can't allow the children to not go to school. We have declared a disaster. It's a fine line that we walk, Honourable Chair, considering that we cannot condone burning schools. I mean, if we suddenly can pull them again, it still kind of says to people, well, just go and burn schools. It's something that we have to deal with carefully. The allocated budget includes the conditional grants such as the NSNB, the Maths and Science Technology grants, and the transfers of the public ordinary schools for norms and standards. We are at 81% of the norms and standards that are paid out, or that you should pay out. Section 27 is talking to us about this, and we will be engaging them going forward. Capital expenditure costs related to repairs and maintenance of buildings and general equipment. So this is just a breakdown of the various matters. As you can see, there has been good spend as far as norms and standards is concerned, and we acknowledge that we are only at 82%. At adjustment time, we will increase our norms and standards, but this is a legacy from 2011 that we're trying to sort out going forward, Chair. So those are the percentages of that payment going forward. Health, this is the biggest pressure on our budget going forward, even in this current financial year. The challenges are there. 99.6% of the budget was spent. So there was an underspend of 68.4 million rand, compensated employees of 16.5 due to the delay of implementation of the housing allowance, goods and services, with 30.6 million rand, mainly on the AWAs and tertiary services conditional grants. We have applied for a rollover. The capex of 15 million due to late delivery of mobile clinics. This is where the pressure was when it came to the last financial year, in particular the build program. They were spending quite fast, so we had to assist them at the adjustment budget. And in fact, we had two adjustment budgets to cover the pressures going forward. The main programs are health, physical services, and provincial and central hospital services, which accounts for 85.7% of the budget. This health services include 449 clinics, 28 health centers, 234 mobile clinics, and 30 district hospitals. Provincial hospital services include 3 psychiatric hospitals and 5 regional hospitals, with the central hospital being in Bulawayo and Langweni. Services provided in these programs include provision of compensation of employees, medicines, etc. Included in the budget are capital expenditure costs related to the repairs and maintenance of medical equipment, buildings and general equipment. The allocated budget includes the additional grants such as a comprehensive AWAs grant, the NHI grant, and the National Tertiary Services grant. This is the breakdown of the Christian services. As you can see, 98.9% of that was spent, and in the conditional grants where 96.8% was spent. There's been a vast improvement, a huge improvement on the comprehensive HIV-AIDS spend of the conditional grants. I'm sure honourable members will recall that in the past financial years, we've been battling to spend over 80% in this conditional grant, so there has been vast improvement there. Social development, 98% of the budget of 1.6 billion was spent. So they underspent by 26.6 million, and the underspend was mainly to do with transfers and capex. NPOs, there was 7.6 million rand. It's something that we need to deal with, honourable members and chair. NPOs and how they account, and we often get NPOs approaching us with treasury saying, we haven't had our tranche or there's a challenge there, so it's something that we have to consistently manage going forward. And we've got to be very aware of them just sprouting up everywhere, considering the challenges that we have with regard to employment. Public Works, of their 2.75 billion budget, they spent 97.4% of it. They underspent by 21.6%. The CRE underspent by 36% as a result of prolonged process of filling vacant posts and employees exiting the system through debt transfers and retirements. Goods and services underspent by 2.4%. This was payment for contractual obligations. Transfers and subsidies underspent by 19.4% as a result of additional payments. Requirements for relief gratuity, municipal rates and taxes for government buildings, and capex underspent by 57.5 million rand. This is due to the delay in the appointment of contractors to refurbish government buildings. As you would know, we have a number of government buildings in Limpopo, namely Giani, Toyando, and Lawahomu, and those we need to refurbish. Agriculture budget of 1.6 billion. They spent 98.3% of their budget, underspending 27.9 million rand. COE was due to the late approval of advertised posts, as well as late conclusion of security clearance checks. Transfer subsidies, 2.2 million rand, due to the reprioritization of funds under the condition grant for CAT, for drought relief, and CAPEX, 25 million rand, due to the delayed implementation of the rehabilitation of small irrigation schemes. And this is about community disputes, who owned the irrigation scheme and who didn't own the irrigation scheme. Christian services overspent due to the procurement of water and drilling of boreholes in the drought relief programs. Transport, 1.7 billion, they spent 99.3% of it, underspending 12.5 million. Christian services, 7.4, due to the delays of purchase of road safety materials procured through the Road Traffic Management Corporation. Transfers, subsidies, 13.3 million. Due to savings generated on penalties for bus subsidies, CAPEX 9.3 million rand due to the delay on the implementation of the remedial construction of the Toyando intermodal transport facilities. The CEO overspend of 17.5 million was due to a salary notch adjustment for the traffic officers. Foxstar, 2.6 billion or 81%, and as National Treasury mentioned, this was the biggest underspender in our administration, and mainly 493.1 million rand due to the progress of housing projects. All contractors have been appointed, and I'm assured by the Honourable MEC that the money will be spent in this next financial year. We have applied for a rollover, and we'll see what happens going forward, Chippers. Sports, Arts and Culture, 396 million rand. They spent 95.1% of the budget. Their underspend was 19.3 million rand. COE, 6.8 million rand. That consists mainly under the Mass Sport and Recreation Program. Goods and services, 1.9 million rand due to savings realized in the procurement of goods and services. Transfer subsidies of 1 million rand due to the overprojected heat facilities and CapEx. 9.4 million rand due to the delayed delivery of modular libraries as a result of community process. So this is a community library grant we have applied for and rollover. Safety and security, the smallest budget, 88.7 million. They spent 93.3% of their budget. COE, they underspent by 5.9 million rand, 3.6 million rand for underspending on COE, goods and services, 2.2 million rand, and with the resulting from a dispute between the contractor and the department, and 120,000 rand due to the non-delivery of dot matrix printer and the installation of a firewall. Office of the Premier, 350 million, they spent 96.8% of the budget, underspending 11.2 million. 3.4 million rand due to the delay of the filling vacant funded posts, 7.6 million rand due to the delay of finalization of plan projects, and 233,000 rand due to misallocations of financial leases under goods and services and journals are being finalized. The legislature, 307.8 million, they spent 96.6% of their budget. The underspend of 10.5 million rand was COE due to vacant funded positions, goods and services due to the delay in processing of invoices. They one of the challenges that we have, you'll see later on, we've identified them as a slow payer and we need to work on the reason why they're a slow payer. They don't necessarily get 10,000 invoices as health does. The legislature overspent the transfer of payments of 2 million rand to payment of previous financial years, arrears to political party staff performance bonuses. As far as Treasury is concerned, we spent 96.9% of our budget, underspent by 11.5 million rand, 17.6 was on compensation of employees due to the delayed filling of funded vacant posts. People don't want to come and work in poker. It's just how it is, you know. So we've got to, people like the shining lights of wherever. So clearly the poker better than shining lights. So we're working on getting them to come and work for us. CapEx, due to the implementation, delayed in implementation of logs and the late appointment of service providers to install the security scanning machines. We overspent our budget of 4.3 million rand for high court legal fees. We're still fighting about the program called Finest. I sat in the dock for three days this year trying to see if we can win this case. They do have a claim of over 100 million, in fact 350 million rand against us. So it's something that we are pretty sure the lawyers always tell you they're going to win. I guess their lawyers have also told them they're going to win. So we'll see where we get in this situation. So transfers and subsidies are due to payment of unplanned leave gratuities as a result of early retirement. As economic development, 1.1 billion, they spent 99.4% of their budget. The department underspent their budget by 6.8 billion rand. COE, 9.7 due to delay appointments. And CAPEX, prolonged processes and construction market stalls. And this again is about community protests. They overspent their budget in goods and services by 2.6 million, escalating prices and contractual obligations, transfers and subsidies by 3.2 million due to payment of unplanned leave gratuities. As far as our compensation of employees in the province is concerned, as you can see, the budget of 38.1 billion rand, we spend 99.8% of that. Our status quo of the percentage share, as you can see, 2007, 65% and we've gone to 72%. But let me remind the honourable members that after the 2011 census, we had a reduction in population, which immediately had a reduction in our equitable share. So that being the case, obviously that pushes up our percentage of COE. But we're very aware of it and the consequences of that and those carving out of that growth. So as you can see in that ring of that blue ring, there is a negative growth in personnel in the province, and we're monitoring this very closely. So we're reducing these steadily over the past 3 years. However, personnel costs are increasing as a result of factors that include annual increments, implementation of the OSDs, regrading of both as well personnel incentive reform. Having realized these challenges, the Ministry of Treasury introduced ring fencing of personal budget and departments during the 15-16 financial year, which resulted in a 578.4 million savings. More effort is required to curb escalating costs of personnel against provincial and available budget. The current intervention to address the compensation of employees, we've developed a provincial treasury, a provincial personal management framework, which is in the process of being approved by the Executive Council. The framework incorporates all personnel management issues and will assist to ensure the reduction of personnel numbers, personnel costs in the province. The framework addresses, amongst others, I won't go through all of those, honourable members, but they are there, and we are doing it in conjunction with the Office of the Premier. No people can be appointed unless we are consulted in conjunction with the Premier so that we can ensure that. In fact, we have agreed as an Executive Council that only people that will be appointed are teachers, policemen, and doctors. We don't believe that there should be any more backroom administrators appointed going forward. Yes. Goods and services, 7.1 billion. We spent 98.8% of that. And the narratives are in each specific department, if you'd like that. As far as infrastructure spend is concerned, we actually spent 1.9 billion, or 92% of the total budget, with an underspending of 8%. There has been improvement compared to the 72% in 2014 and 70% in 2014-15. However, we still need to improve this. And how we're going to improve this, Honourable Chair, is that we have now signed a contract and taken in the services of the Government Technical Advisory Centre. So they will assist the Department of Agriculture, where you can see that they spend 76% of the infrastructure budget due to program management expertise challenges. So GTAC will now assist us to ensure that these departments, agriculture, transport, there is a challenge with the Toyota intermodal facility. There's a whole issue. The company that built it, there's structural faults in the particular building. We have to go back and fix them again. So there's obviously a court proceedings that we have to deal with, legal issues that we have to deal with there. And as far as the Limpopo Traffic Colleges are concerned, we have two options, and we're hoping that we'll come up with a final decision of where we will build this particular college. They spent 64% or 95% of the infrastructure budget, and again, this was a result of work stoppages due to community disputes, and this GTAC will assist us there. Public works and infrastructure, the actual expenditure was 1.6 billion, or 93% of the budget. The underspending was due to lack of transfers to household projects and challenges in finalizing the evaluation due to high number of tenders submitted. Contractors have been appointed. EBWP, household-based and road routine maintenance program has been introduced, wherein road maintenance projects is linked to 35 local municipalities. The repair of potholes is mainly carried out by departmental teams. Routine maintenance and other critical road maintenance material items identified for the procurement through term contracts to speed up delivery. So as far as the social structure discussed is concerned, the actual expenditure is 2.9 billion, or 84% of the total budget, with an underspending of 60%. As we have indicated, the expenditure has improved from 2014-15, from 71% to 87%, and then we reduced again in this current financial year of 2015-16 to 84%. Education actual expenditure was 1.1 billion, or 100%. The Division of Revenue, Human Resource Capacitation and Employment of Infrastructure Personnel from the Infrastructure Strategic Planning Hub has stabilized the department. We filled all those posts. Additional funding was allocated during the adjustment from the equitable share by the province, and also during the second adjustment by National from the equitable infrastructure grant. As far as health is concerned, the actual expenditure is 601.9 million, or 96%. The Division of Revenue, Human Resource Capacitation and Employment of Infrastructure Professional from the Infrastructure Hub has assisted us substantially, and DBSA has stabilized the department. The infrastructure planning has been stabilized. As far as costs are concerned, the actual expenditure of 1.1 billion, or 71%, is an improvement compared to the other previous years, however, not up to speed. The department has appointed a housing development agency to monitor the construction of houses and assist with the acceleration of projects. The option of appointing more contractors with less manageable units to improve spending has been initiated. And poor performing contractors are penalized. In fact, what we're going to do is, if they're not performing, we remove them out of the system. Social development, actual expenditure of 16.7 million rand. Challenges are encountered with the completion of the Sashevo Treatment Center. We have put them on terms, and they should conclude this particular treatment center by the end of June. GTAC has been invited to assist us with the low spending in this particular department. Sports, art and culture, it's about the library infrastructure and the delay of IT to complete the projects. And again, we've got GTAC to go in there and assist us with that. Cash flow, management in the province. The provincial government has scheduled its payments, runs and allocated funds for each run. During 15-16, payments were scheduled as follows. Pesol is the normal run, it's scheduled by National Treasury. Pesol supplementary, 1 rand per month, and then BAS supplements payments, 2 rand per month for the payment action date of the 15th and the end of the month. The province uses the CPD account as its only investment portfolio where its equivalent share is deposited by National Treasury and withdrawn on a needs basis in line with the payment schedules. The province has also used the CPD account to transfer its exchequer account surpluses to generate interest. Exchequer account surpluses result from the only revenue paid by a department and conditional grants that flow when the equitable share was also used to meet the department's cash flow requirements. Provincial Treasury issued a cash allocation letter with clear payment processes the departments must adhere to ensure that they do not exceed their cash allocation and ultimately their appropriations. Funds are transferred to departments in line with the payments dispersed as well as the disbursement schedule. Our challenge remains with the slowness of PAS. However, we have engaged CETA. CETA has set up a big system within the province. So this is receiving attention so that we can speed up the efficiency of PAS. And that will obviously allow us to pay when we should. So as far as our feedback payments are concerned, our average compliance rate is 90.24%. And you can see the three departments that aren't performing very well, namely health, education, and the legislature. Of course, health gets an enormous amount of invoices on a monthly basis. We are working on it to ensure that we can get there. But as you will notice, Honourable Minister, there are a number of departments that are just on 100%, or just under 100%, so we are getting there. By the way, we report this on a monthly basis to the Executive Committee so that we are aware of our payment. Month-end bank account balances. As you can see, there's no red there, not like 2011. There's no red there. We're managing the finances as we should. I won't go into the detail of the honourable members. I'm sure we'll ask questions if they need. Our accruals and disbursements, as you can see, our bank balances at the end of March, there was any health that had that challenge. Health is a department with the biggest amount of accruals, as you can see, 390 million rand. So we will have to manage that going forward. As I mentioned earlier, honourable members, there's one department that has a pressure on its budget, is health. Our provincial cash flows continued. This is just giving an indication of what was received and what was transferred. So Standard Bank being our banker, that's just your information. So the disaster refund account and the development fund account were closed with balances amounting to 4.2 million, which were transferred to the exchequer account. The local economic development account funded by the European Union, managed by COFSA, was closed with a balance of 28.3 million rand, which was transferred to the exchequer account and which were ultimately sent back to National Treasury. The RDB funds amounting to 2.5 million rand not spent by health was surrendered by the department, and again, we'll send that back to National Treasury. The trend of favourable balances in the CPD account in the South African Reserve Bank have yielded an amount of 286.8 million rand in interest as of the 31st of March 2016. The province does not have any form of borrowing or overdraft facility in use since its recovery from the impact of accumulated unauthorized expenditure. The province has just funded the balance of 368 million rand in education, which the department cleared and surrendered its outstanding voucher funds to be surrendered to the exchequer account in March 2016. There is an overdraft facility with a CPD account, which the province has not used in the past 4 years. Unauthorized expenditure. Honourable members, there you'll see the unauthorized, what has been funded, as you can see in 2012-13 it was funded, that came from 11 as you could recall, and then we funded in 2013-14 an amount of, this is an Department of Education, and we funded going forward outstanding amounts that need to be funded as soon as we get the consideration by SCOPA or as stated there, Honourable Chair. Unauthorized and irregular expenditure, wasteful expenditure again. This is just unauthorized expenditure, regular expenditure, fruitless and wasteful, and that is the amount, and honourable members can question us on that matter. In conclusion, honourable chair, the province has achieved 98.3% spending on its overall allocated budget and managed to collect 104.7% of their provincial and revenue target. The provincial treasury monitors provincial spending on a regular basis and conducts quarterly bilateral meetings with the departments where each departmental executive management accounts to the MEC for finance in the presence of the departmental executing authority. A very good engagement that we have, and we do that, as mentioned, on a quarterly budget basis. The budget and expenditure performance is also reported monthly to the HIV Forum as well as the Executive Council, and these engagements have insisted in the province in the alignment of key priority area to the available resources and ensuring funds appropriate that are utilized for the intended purposes with minimal wastage. Just quickly on health, Honourable Chair, the only way we're going to be able to relieve this pressure is we're going to make them more efficient. So what we will be doing as Treasury is that we'll be monitoring this very closely and working on improving the efficiency. Thank you, Honourable Chair.
Honourable members, we have captured your questions. We get Procter, human settlement, the unauthorized irregular vegetable expenditure issues. Yes. Eastern Cape, there's problems when I was born. You've got a special place in my makeup.
Man of fine. Morning,
everybody. Welcome.
Honourable members.
Yes.
Colleagues and MCs, LEDs.
Thank you very much,
Treasurer Fisher. Well, we need to express our appreciation for being a part of this kind of engagement at the time when we have closed another financial year. We'll be helped here, assisted by both the HOD, Mr. Mateke, and the executive manager in the budget. With Joe Shlomi, who's on my right hand side in terms of the presentation. Our presentation covers the global and the national economic context, which one would assume that at least this has been made from time to time by this committee, so I'll not waste my time in dealing with it, but I'm going to the provincial areas of that economic context, which for us reflects that the long-term economic growth and employment levels in the province are consistently lower than the national average. The Eastern Cape records some of the highest quarterly unemployment rates in the country, which is somewhat reflected within the current statistics. The moderate to weak growth in employment likely to be the main factor in serving outer migration of the working age population in the province. That's why a number of provinces have tried to of the inward migration for those who come from other provinces. So part of those somewhat worsening that part of the situation. The skill profile of those remaining within the province is what look at the challenge that we must somewhat tackle up in terms of fiscal power. The poverty literacy and total household income indicators are worse in the Eastern Cape when compared to the regions in the country, especially the burden of the unemployment and poverty is still most prevalent in those areas which are formerly the regions held by the Holland Sister Trust. This requires an emphasis on addressing both spatial and structural inequalities in the provincial economy. This would as well be viewed when we take decisions in terms of infrastructure which is located, because we must address those inequalities going forward. And that goes equally the same as if you look into the NHI private sites, which themselves are looking into the same scenario to better the lives of those who are mainly impacted by the former structural instances. The breakdown of the sectoral composition of economic output in the Eastern Cape reveals some structural challenges within the regional economy. The government services, which is the community and the social service sector, is a large sector in terms of the output and employment indicative of the underdevelopment of the local industrial government, and somewhat take over as such. That the cultural sector remains largely underdeveloped, as you will see, in terms of that consistent growth comparative 2005 up to 2014, which stands at 1.7%. Range of that level of growth. The provincial manufacturing base has been declining. If you look into the current statistics, the need to diversify the provincial industrial base, whose production and exports are highly vulnerable to an influence by the global economic events. South Africa is part of the global situation, and on away from that fact, the province is as well impacted quite negatively with such. I think that we would know that mainly the dominant sector there is a auto sector, which is driven by the investments which will come from other countries. The least diversified provincial industrial base, whose production and exports are highly vulnerable to influence by global economic events, need to optimize the performance and the sourcing of the provincial industrial development zones, as is the case in our institution for the two well-functioning industrial development zones as engines of assuring that we re-industrialize the province in a way. And the studies in terms of the scale of impact, in terms of the job creation, which rests with such an institution. And we need to look into the work we do in conjunction with the rural development and land affairs, which involves the other parts across the province, digging farmers to agri-value chain and export markets. What we have appreciated, the work which has been done by that department with the ministry. The total budget for rural development and rural reform 2016-17 is 2.2 billion rand, which represents a 12.1% increase, which is a sort of phenomenal. And the HR is 10.6 million set aside for the comprehensive agricultural support program, and additional 95 million for 2016-17 has been set aside for drought relief. As we know, that we've been impacted as a country negatively by drought, and the province could not escape that negative impact. So we have to ensure that a fair amount is set aside for such. And improving the competitiveness of the provincial manufacturing through ensuring that the skills that we generate for those who left behind in the province somewhat enhanced, was born into partnership with the MBFA, which has established the learning academy, which is doing very well in terms of skilling and reskilling our youth. That is in connection as well with the VW, which are big auto industries that are operational in the province, who have somewhat amassed some work in terms of skills development. The Eastern Cape auto sector continues to invest in local production capacity, and that is 4.5 billion range, which is expected from VW. That's why we're partnering with them to create some kind of a request. So it should not be taken far from the province, and then the benefit should be primarily our youth there. So through that training, we want to somewhat see the better benefit up to 2017 in their polymer model production. They have made that commitment already. MBSA has already invested about 5.5 billion rand between 2011 to 2015 for the production of the Siglas in the East London plant. And would note with interest, honorable members, that there were one other promising investment of about 12 billion rand, which is coming to the province, the finalization of such in the same sector with the Chinese auto industry, which is coming to our shores just recently. That agreement is going to be sealed sometime next week, which is a very huge investment in our shores. Leveraging on the national government's operation for KISA, issuing the economy, the Port of Port Development, which has seen a ship repair capacity in Port Elizabeth, about 186 million rand has been spent by National Ports Authority. The President has been there last month to launch that project, in the realization of such. The Eastern Cape has benefited from more than 400 million rand of investment by government and private sector on fish farming and agricultural development across the country. Leveraging on driving economic benefits through promoting local content requirements, attracting more private investment for the province within the renewable energy program, working together with the independent power producers there, has yielded more than 33 billion rand of investment in terms of the wind turbines that you see from Jervis Bay across Port Elizabeth and closer to the Kai River. It's that massive investment in renewable energy, which has given hope in terms of sustained industrial development, because electricity is one of the key drivers of the industry we see in the country. The nuclear energy program, which is one of the promising investments there, were one of the sites which are strongly recommended, though they are still within the finalization of the LW2 EIA, the tin sponge plant in the Kokamo municipality, which is one of the best sites that the country has. So we are now working closely with the Bucha's government to ensure that we maximize that potential, to ensure that we pull in the necessary skills for readiness of the country to receive such a development. policy on local economic development in order to promote provincial packaging growth that is part of the government's investment in terms of its own procurement. The full-time revitalization and enhancing provincial support to municipalities, 1.2 billion rand over the 2015-16 million term was allocated to social infrastructure in some municipalities. Progress to date includes the KSD at 61 bypass. Those who pass through Taja will see the benefit of redirecting traffic just to absorb the heavy traffic there, even at times that are so much reliable in terms of your inflows and outflows of the city, which is a huge benefit for such controls. The care team
is Honorable Gaila.
Okay, Honorable Gaila would have another test to that. The care team was then side electrification to ensure that there's a standard predictable sense of availability of electricity in town. We've invested in such roads and stormwater projects in Tabankulu. So the provincial government has been actively involved to assist the municipalities who can't afford the demands of the day in terms of that. And in fact, I'm sure the HOD would talk on that in terms of the impact that it has on the differential of the financial year and resulting into the low spend, which impacts on our capability of treasury, and now probably viewed as underspending on some amount because of working with municipalities to realize that kind of infrastructure, which is social investment in their part. For the 2016-17 media term, the 162 million that has been set aside for infrastructure development to revitalize Port St. John's in the Wild Coast, 106.8 million rand for the application and translation of households in Jangolu, Bizana, Sikaritu, Bashe, Madatio, Kerati, and Elundi Ngoze has taken this view as the provincial government that we can't sit and fold our arms when our own people do not have and realize electricity, which now has become one of the bases for their own survival. So we must invest some of the funds that would generate through the provincial revenue fund so that we somewhat impact positively on the lives of our own community. So we have chosen that approach, working with the Department of Trade and Industry to transform and optimize provincial IGZ performance. The new SEZ Act and regulations aimed at improving efficiencies and effectiveness of SEZ in the country, which has been realized in the clear time for now. Both provinces, in conjunction with TTI, in the process of transforming the two provincial IGZ into full-fledged instead of its own challenges, because they are existing at the same time, to transform them into the new action realization has got its own challenges, but already for us as such. The I 2015 CTNMT have approved funding for pipeline projects, Islanan and Kuka IGZ, 331.2 million for Islanan and 365.3 million for Kuka. Further, 104.4 million for 2016-17 MTF projects for Kuka, awaiting official confirmation and receipt of funds from TTI. In Industrial Parks, Revival and Development, phase one upgrades of provincial industrial parks for Queen Dust and Queenstown, between 2.5 million rand at Wildera and Tata Heights in Tata. That relates to how we want to revitalize those industrial parks which exist there currently. To be achieved through the DGI's Infrastructure Investment Support Program. The Eastern Cape Development Corporation currently tasked with the projects in near East Atlanta. The tourism industrial sector is somewhat boosted from the 2013-2014 and 2014-2015 MTR period through the provincial allocation of 30 million rand and 26 million rand respectively for infrastructure development. Furthermore, for 2016-17 MTR period, 2.6 million. But the tourism is somewhat one of the areas which will drive economic to go through. SMMD local industrial business development to promote local industrial industries that have capacity potential to be competitive through provincial government procurement targets. Wherein we look into those who are in the textile industry, including in construction, built environment material, school furniture, learner teacher support material, fleet services, food and beverages. Because our belief is that we can drive industrialization through a government investment on its own public procurement policy. So that's why we want to somewhat provincialize the benefit one way or the other. The scaling up of EPWP phase 3 implementation is the province one of the best performing provinces in phase 1 and 2 rollout of EPWP program, Over the medium term, 1.8 billion rand for EPWP phase 3 rollout has been earmarked, stretching 50,000 work opportunities, realizing 900 artisans and 150 image contractors. Public infrastructure development, introduction and the rollout of the strategic framework for improving infrastructure service delivery and rapid response team, a collaborative effort between the Office of the Premier, Provincial Treasury, and Provincial Roads and Public Works, because centrality of government ensuring that we spend the money that is allocated on infrastructure so we don't somewhat turn it away from government's benefit. That's why we have established this kind of variable which is going to drive that development. Improving governance and role of a provincial public entities, the province will benefit more from the improved effectiveness and efficiencies in public entities, rationalization of entities and streamline objectives for impact, manage the health payment to both the senior managers and non-executive boards, as far as the National Treasury pipeline, reduction of number of board members, finalized transition of the IDZs to SZs to lay investors through increased incentives. Those are the areas that we think that are going to assist us going forward around the areas that relate to strengthening our economy. Members should take note of the fact that the huge challenge last year we were presenting here, there was a huge challenge in terms of accrual, and those accruals we had to take not from this committee in terms of driving them down. You will see and appreciate how we have worked with departments around that, and the only department that now we are getting into is the Department of Health, which is mainly affected by the medical legal court, which is a countrywide program, and so we are doing a great job there to manage see that effect. The attorney in the presentation will appreciate that. On COE, we are as well looking into the reduction of the spend on COE from 65% as it has been projected by Treasury to something lower than what we see on the savings that are projected as under expenditure. That is the savings that relates to COE in some areas. Though we can celebrate when it comes to teachers which are leaving the employer of government, but on other areas, because of our own efforts, to somewhat drive that expense quite down, about 600 million rand would be realized after such a kind of exercise, which begins to tell us that at least our efforts are paying off in one way or the other. And we look into how we are impacted quite negatively because of the drought and the relief thereof, and how it makes use of the provincial revenue to invest on such industries which are putting us into pressure that gets there. And the last point is that we have cleared our own operation on the basis of the cash exercise. So the flow is at that point. So if you would see our balances, that will tell you the story without even getting to other instances that relate to commitments in terms of our own finances for the end of the year. But the team is going to talk on some of the areas pertinent to touch. Mr. Shomi?
Okay. Thanks, Honourable Members. I just wanted perhaps to start with the clarification that when we look to the figures of revenue collection for the previous financial year and also the expenditure, they are preliminary figures. As you would understand that the 15th in March closes on the 29th. Secondly, also to mention, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members, that the province had two assessment budgets made. The first one, it was in line with the teaching of the NTPBS. The second one is the money, 400 million, that we received in respect of human entitlement. We received an additional amount of 400 million. That was understood by other offices. The last one, that is not captured also in the National Treasury presentation, we received the gazette around March. That actually a reduction of 550 million. That means that money is not in the province. in terms of the law. Without wasting time, it's asked to report on the revenue collection. At the end of the financial year, the revenue in terms of the receipts, we over collected by 278.3 million, which is we have exceeded our collection by 24.5%. Those really, honorable chair, are attributed to some in that accumulated as a result of investments by provincial treasurer. The other one is from the economic and environmental affairs tourism of a collection amounting to 39.7 million. Also, education of a collection is 27.5 million. One of the issues that is tailor-made to what the MEC has presented, we realize that indeed in the province, all the equity share that we receive from us in terms of economic growth goes to social services. Now there is a serious demand to ensure that we escalate the level of revenue collection so that we can beef also our economic growth in terms of our own funding. The MSO Finance has committed in the 2016 budget speech that we will enhance the fiscal space in terms of revenue collection. And during the assessment estimates, we will be taking advice figures of 1.5 billion from 1.1 billion. These don't remember the schools, the ones of actual interest, but in terms of our baseline, we want to increase our revenue base from 1.1 billion to 1.5 billion. There are strategies that we are working on, where firstly we have also improved our revenue generation strategy, where we are from policy point of view, where we will focus. In transport alone, currently we have only two weight bridges that are working. That is the fact that most of the trucks that come in and out in the province, that is our roads. We will be adding three additional weight bridges under the administration of transport. And also, we are also working, I think Mr. Chesar has made the point that from the agency fees that were charged by municipalities and also Telkom, we improve in terms of the administration costs that we drive within the Department of Transport, and also the tariffs, particularly in transport, we improve that more so in the motor vehicles at the vicinity that are exiting 3,500 kilograms. Also around the health is also our focus area. We are rolling out an electronic billing system from 8 to 13 hospitals, but our intention is to roll out to 66 district hospitals. In our engagement with them, because one of the problems where we are losing revenue is the assessment of the affordability of each patient. Therefore, they will be focused that system is enhanced. And secondly, even the collection in terms of the medical aid, the administration, we are looking to ensure that the deficiency in terms of that area. Around economic development, we are also enhancing in terms of our public entities. Basically, the entities that are leading is a gambling and betting board and the liquor board. For instance, in terms of the gambling board, we are expanding the bingo halls from 6 to 10, and also we are considering the vision of tariffs so far as liquor board. In Department of Roads and Public Works, we are also looking for other new avenues, which is like the towers where they are mounting all these social networks. We will start actually be charging those network companies in terms of that. Over and above, honorable chair, on the revenue, we will also be engaging if in Solicit support on national treasure to identify other new revenue sources that would actually be done in this particular financial year to ensure that they will increase the revenue. In terms of our slide 21, this is what we'll be presenting basically in the assessment efforts for 2016-17, where we'll be improving our revenue portion to 1.5. If I can quickly get, because of time, to the summary of the provincial expenditure. As I made the point that these are preliminary figures, what we are reflecting as the province, we have spent 97.6% of our total budget. We have underspent that time by 1.6 billion. The leading departments, basically is education, which is about 1 billion that they are underspent. And also provincial treasure, national treasure is a good debt, and to some extent the health at the debt. But if we can quickly go to slide 32, that's where we are explaining the department. In terms of education, the other expenditure that is reported there is under compensation of employees. We must agree that this department has actually exited about 4,929 educators that have left the district. You will recall, well, members and chair, that the reality is that it's one province that has been sitting with more than 4,000. Additional educators where money was actually spent. Part of the number that has left are those people. Because as we speak now, there are 728 numbers that are still additional. If you look also to some of the issues that also the MEC has alluded to, also we are trying to balance the non-core, the admin and the core. In terms of that department, where really we are looking actually putting processes to fill some of those posts that are critical. We have put a processing center, a special intervention program, where in the areas of Nelson Mandela Metro and also around Mutiny, we have actually enhanced the support there so that they fast track the appointment of educators, most in those areas. Other goods and services, the other expense that is reflected there, the bulk of it comes under the school furniture. We had some challenges in the province where one of our suppliers withdraw. In terms of the national tenor, and there were problems actually. It was one of the major suppliers actually was reported deceased, and the other partners who did actually continue with the work, because most of the work was known by this major supplier or partner. And we even approached the national treasury to assist in this regard. That were about 111 million that is recorded as under expenditure relates specifically to school furniture. In terms of transfer payments, it's only 7.9 million. Also payments under capital, it relates to what I have just alluded, because some of the school furniture is categorized under that item. Under health, the overall criminal expenditure in this department is 18.9 billion, which is 99.4%, where the other expenditure is 106. And compensation of employees is 26.5 million, mainly within the administration, emergency medical services, and also under food and services, which is 19. I must report what also the MEC has looked at as a medical legal claims is one of the issues that we are dealing with the province. Currently, the exposure is closer to 10 billion in terms of the potential potential litigation. And the under expenditure that is also related to goods and services is also to address that, because if you go to Traverse, you can see that we have about 254 over expenditure that was actually related there. But they have made a savings under goods and services actually to take care of this legal claim. Under social development, that department is sitting at 99.7% expenditure, which is less than 2%. If we go to provincial legislature, also 99.4%, which is less than 2%, which is the threshold that is put by national treasurer, which is within. We are spending less than 2%. Office of the Premier, we are sitting there at 96.2. Also there, the other expenditure is in relation to possession of employees. Also, this is attributed to some of the measures that are also put by the province to contain some of the personal expenditure, but also to some extent it affects the goods and services where you have to understand in some of those items. Okay. Let me go back to provincial treasury, where also it was reported we are now spending by 2022. It's what the MEC has also alluded to. This is a special vehicle that now treasury is undertaking, where we are driving social infrastructure, the provincial treasury. Basically, what I would say is a vehicle that is meant actually to assess the key roads to social infrastructure and to economic zones. Then this matter started a bit late, because we started even actually to wanted to house it in Copter, but because of capacity, it was internationally hosted there. But what is important is that the under expenditure that we are registering as treasure is the result of somehow the underperformance by municipality, which is also linked to the financial years, because our financial year ends in March, whilst they have ended 3 months later. Therefore, we have made an arrangement, we are not transferring it to them. They need first to place bail on the ground, and subsequent to that, we transfer the money within 7 days. We are not transferring directly. We first go and verify if the work has been done on the ground. Therefore, basically, those are the issues that we are faced with. Also, in the provincial grants, I think we have also improved. We are sitting at 98.2% of the total provincial grants in 2052. If Honourable I can quickly go to the infrastructure, slide 57, also in that area. If you take out the 580 of education, that is no longer within our budget, we've spent 98.9%. If we can go to bank balances, I think we do have a favorable bank balances, slide 61, which is 7.5 billion. Basically, it's also committed. 2 billion is actually for the fiscal cliff. If you recall that we have been receiving some cushion in terms of the first sliding that has happened because of the 2011 census reduction. But that cushion is only the last year that we are getting that. Therefore, we are also considering for further investment in social economic infrastructure. But there are also positions in our building. As I mentioned, that the teachers are about 4,000 900 that have left the city. That means the leave gratuity has fed to households. Therefore, there is also that exposure that we are talking about. About the accruals, I think the Honorable Minister has said that from 1.3 billion, it has been reduced to 778 million. In terms of the irregular, also in the irregular, that where in total we are expecting 4.9 billion, whilst we have improved under unauthorized expenditure to 125 million, of which the 91 million that is reflected under health has already been actually approved by SCOPA and presented to the legislature. In conclusion, which is slide 71, honorable chair and honorable members, it is important that perhaps to note the provincial government is concerned with the low levels of industrialization and beneficiation in the province. Skills development that responds to the needs of the market remains a challenge in the province. The existing intergovernmental fiscal framework limits province its ability to fund economic development projects. The new SEZ Act and regulations will likely exert excessive fiscal burden to the province if the proposal split in terms of the SEZ at 90-10 and the AGP split is expected to be funded also by the province. The policies and legislation on land, administration and permanent land continue to hold back in terms of the development that is seen also in the Oar Tambo area, where there is the government, the problem in terms of land ownership for development and investment. The provincial revenue strategy that we are actually taking into place, they have delayed the strategy that will actually yield a positive result in terms of revenue collection. Also, the other expenses in some of the departments indeed, Honorable Chair, remain a concern. But there is something that we are doing, SLM, the Open Staff, has left a committee that is also set by the Honorable MD that actually is focused on the infrastructure and the employee. Also, we are in the best of appointing a rapid response team where there are blockages in terms of infrastructure delivery. Those specialists will actually be sent actually to correct that. And also the acceleration of procurement through the participation in the transversal contract and also framework agreement. I must lastly, Honorable Chair, mention that the infrastructure, which is the collaboration between the Office of the Premier and also the Treasurer, that is the PCT structure, that is looking on the service delivery of each department with the intentions to actually to influence the organogram, how the organogram will come into form. This is a long-term strategy that we are trying also to eliminate the level of personnel so that it's aligned to the service delivery progress. So thank you.
Thank you, MEC, and the interview of Mr. Beck. The last remark about that structure, the Premier, I call it oversight structure. That's very important. The monitoring evaluation, exercise, it's crucial. Not only there in the Premier's office, it must be each regional office in the province. Why? Because HODs meet on a weekly basis in the HOD forum. Regional managers must meet on a weekly basis in a regional managers forum in the region. Why? Cross-cutting issues. Public works, education. Toilets at Garrick High School is not working. Education is phone or send email to public works for help. It takes nearly 6-7 months just to send an email. It doesn't make sense. And that must feature down. That was one of our recommendations last year in the report. Also, welcome to Honorable Masisiwe. In his previous life, he sat on this side. He was a member of the MCLP, member of Parliament, and he was the whip of this comment. So, welcome back. It's a new hat you are carrying. and the work you are doing to assist the provincial government in the Eastern Cape. Northern Cape, I'm Robert. There's the solar energy hub of South Africa. Yes, the biggest province in the country. The two main rivers flowing through the Northern Cape, the Vaal and the Orange River. Tomorrow there's a very important debate, you see, on water sanitation, and although Mohai will participate in that debate, and I gave him a paper on the matter of the issue of the dam in the Lower Orange River, where the IEIA is currently in progress. So he will address that on behalf of the province. Welcome, Mr. Kumbu, you as well. You're familiar face here. Congratulations, honorable members, to the honorable MEC, being appointed at the MEC for Finance, Economic Affairs and Tourism. Previously, the MEC for Health. You may address the committee MEC.
Thank you, Chair. colleagues, MECs from the Conference of Eastern Cape, National Treasury, ladies and gentlemen. Indeed, we are the biggest province in terms of landmass, but we are the smallest province in terms of population, which is has a direct bearing on the per capita in order to allocate resources for the province.
They all fit into the Cape Flats.
Thank you very much. I think it's just going to be proper for me to introduce the acting HOD, Mr. Wisile Kumbu, as well as Mr. Moya, who is the general manager, acting general manager for sustainable resource management, and the man at the end there. I think there's a few issues that we really want to brief on the issue of the economic growth of the province. We would know. From 2005 up to last year, our average economic growth was 2.2%, and we are projecting that it is going to be less than 2% currently. In terms of sector contribution, you will find the slide which speaks to all sectors of the economy, but mainly the mining sector continues to be the largest contributor to the provincial economy, accounting for a quarter of the provincial economy as such. But obviously, with the challenge of commodities that are not in demand and the decline in terms of commodity prices, it remains a serious challenge. That's why, as a province, we are currently faced with possible retrenchment, actual retrenchment, and possible retrenchment going forward. Indeed, the electricity sector has doubled its contribution to the economy in the last 10 years, and that contribution grew from 1.9% to 4.1%. Obviously, as you have indicated there, that the number of ICTs in the province makes us the energy hub of the country. Based on the labor profile, indeed, unemployment was reduced from 34% to 27%, and the number and the rate of economically active population has also declined from 2015 and 2016, as the table there outlines. Chair, labor profile, the community service sector accounts for almost a third of employment in the Northern Cape. Despite growth in the share of the provincial economy, labor absorbed by the electricity sector is still low, which is less than 1%. And you would find that even with this intervention of these IPPs and the establishment of that, labor is really high when it comes to construction, but when it comes to general operation of those sites, it drops because they need much less people to operate the site continuously. Before I give over to Mr. Kumbu, who is the acting HOD, indeed, it might be because of what we have, but health remains our serious and challenge in the province when it comes to financial management, when it comes to human resource management, when it comes to procurement issues. But also, we have identified, after we took a bold step to tackle the issues, we identified that the prevalence of fraud and corruption within that department, in actual fact, nearly paralyzed the department. And that intervention yielded some fruit, and we could save a lot of money in as far as that is concerned. But we continue to intervene there. As you have indicated earlier, that is not a treasure indicated earlier, the issue of approvals remains central. But with that said, there was an intervention on an official that we really deployed at hell. After a year, we accept that deployment did not really yield the necessary expected results. As a result, we are working on intervening at the level of Section 18 now in that particular department. We hope that the ECHO, the next ECHO will approve that, and we are going to deal with that seriously. So the next issue that I think we need to reflect on is our revenue. And the National Treasury, as well as our report, will definitely reflect on this matter. We are, of course, concerned about licensing, which, to me, we are piloting with the post office. And the current state of South African post office is, for me, a kind of a worrying factor. But we hope and trust that we are going to be making a breakthrough and ensure that monies that are due to the province are coming to the province, other than monies not paid over by municipalities because of their financial challenges they are faced with, not justifying what they are doing, which is not correct in accordance to the law. Indeed, the province is currently having a total of 1 billion accruals, but then the main contributors, as I said earlier, is health and public works. And health is at 3.2, public works is more than 500 million now. We need to find a solution. We need to start to say how you deal with this situation. And members around the table can, of course, assist us in terms of proposals in that regard. But at this point, let me give over to the acting executive.
When you last presented, Mr. Kundu, this was a major issue about the license fees. It was also captured in our report that was tabled in the NCP on the idea of appropriations. We took that through the appropriations committee also with the National Treasury. So from that side, from Parliament side, we tried to do an intervention, but you are the guys at grassroots level. We also engage with SELGA regarding this, taking that message back to the municipalities. A very important fact that honourable members, and I'm not a bit biased, but you must apologize is the service delivery in that province, because of its size, gravel roads. That was a serious impact on the budget. And we invited the FOC and landed them in Africa and took them by road to Mahakwalea, that they can see what we are talking about. Because you can't sit in the office in Victoria, take a decision, but haven't seen what's happening at grassroots level. And that's what provinces must do in this. Invite the NEC, have a meeting there, but let them travel somewhere to a rural venue, have the meeting in a rural area. Over to you, Mr. Kumbu.
And thank you, Deputy, and thank you, Emishi. And let me also thank expressing our views about the Northern Cape on the service delivery, because it costs us more than any other province to offer a service delivery. Then I will start with a preliminary. I will echo what Eden Cape has already said, that is, these are preliminary figures. We may, in other ways, change a little bit, but not too much. The provincial own revenue on slide number 9, that's where we will just go straight to economic classification. If you look at the motor vehicle licenses, we are under collecting there by 6.3 million. As NBC has already echoed, that the municipalities are not paying over the revenue. They just collect and then utilize our own revenue for their operational costs. And then the other, I'll just cut on the main, the one which we settled. The other under collection is in the Department of Health. We have, I think even last year, we reported the same issue, that we are still having a problem when it comes to the Department of Health. The main issue there is that they are not able to recover the medical aid fund. That is where the main problem, that is where the main money which is outstanding. It's their systems. With what we are doing now, we are currently looking at their systems. We find that their systems actually are not necessarily working. Or if they are working, the people who are there are not able to operate the system. There were consultants there, and sometimes we even forget that they are consultants because they were there for a longer time. We even because they are employees, then they are the one who operate this system, and then no other person understands that. We are trying now to change that, to have a new system which can assist us as a province. The other issue we settled there is interest. The interest, as Limoko echoed, that is, we are not necessarily enjoying the collect such a lot of interest on interest. Then, because it's a sign that the departments are not necessarily spending. But when there is an excess funds, because the departments are not spending, then we don't just let them lie there. We try by all means to invest on the highest interest rate with other banks, but the main investor we have is the CBD with the Reserve Bank. That's where we are collecting a lot of the interest. But we are, as a province, also investing with other banks on higher interest. That's why we are over-collecting there by 42.5 million. The net life is just the composition of the actual collectors. And you see there that these motor vehicles are the major source of own revenue in the Northern Cape. It should have been more should the municipalities pay over the use, I mean, what it belongs to us. The next slide is just to show the challenges we have and their remedial actions. If you look at the motor vehicle, as we already said, that the municipality currently are owing us more than 83 million, which they are not able to pay over to us. Yes, we are trying also to negotiate with them, but they are in a very bigger challenge because they can't also pay ESCOM, they can't pay the water board, they can't pay the auditor general. Then we are in that problem whether we will be able to recover this money. But moving to the post office, maybe we may negotiate the writing off of this big amount because there is no chance that the municipality will be able to pay that. Then yes, moving to the post office also, they are a little bit of a resistance on the municipalities, then we are taking the revenue, but we are saying to them we are taking what belongs to us, because they charge a 12%, but they take more than 12%. For us to be able to write it off, then we have to shift that function to the post office. The casinos, we are having also a problem with when it comes to illegal gambling in the Northern Cape. Then what we have done as a province, we are strengthening the inspectorate. The provincial treasury has added some resources in the Department of Economic Development through the gambling court to increase the number of inspectors so that they can close down all those illegal gambling and confiscate all the illegal machines. The patent fees, I already indicated that is where we are having the major problem when it comes to the Department of Health. It's supposed to be one of the major sources of revenue in the province, but we are struggling in the meantime. But we are, I hope by next year, we will be coming here saying that we have resolved the issue of health. The next slide, we are going to deal with the consumer grants expenditure, which actually are also included on the main the total expenditure of the province, but we are just picking up the conditional grant. The conditional grant, if you check on page on slide number 15, the province has spent 3.7 billion, which is 97% of the total adjusted budget. And then there is an underspending of 118.4 million in that regard. Then I will, the next slide is just explaining back on the subgrant what is the reasoning behind the understanding. Let's start with the Department of Education, then the infrastructure there, then the understanding among other things, what the department has said is the low implementation of projects. And then another portion is the non-appointment of DORA technical posts, which are not yet filled up to now. Then that is one of the reasons for the underpinning. The Department of Health, you will see there in Health Professional Training and Development Grant, they are over spending by 15.3 million, which is a little bit abnormal. There, you overspend on a conditional grant. Then what does that mean? It means that they have overcommitted. That's what they are, especially on the student doctor and the other Bahrain. They overcommitted, but because the students are already there, then they have to pay. Hence, they recorded this over-expenditure. But the question will be, where will this money come from? Because it will not come from the constitutional grant. It means their equitable share will have to offset this over-expenditure. That is an issue. The struggling is they are with the money, then also when it comes to planning, then it's a problem. And then the hotel style facility revitalization grant, also they are showing a slow spending there of 42 million. The same story, that is a slow delivery on some infrastructure project like Kimberley Mental Hospital, which I know the members, it's always an issue every year, and we are still struggling there when it comes to spending. And another slow spending is that is slow procurement on medical equipment of the new hospital, which is in DR. That is a reasoning for the low spending there.
The rollovers have, the department has applied for a rollover in that regard.
In Costa, we are having also an understanding of 12 million. As the members will remember, we received 100 million in approximately there, we passed the deal I think in March, in this record. And then the money also flew in March, but the province has already spent that money, but they couldn't spend the same amount of 12 million. The Department of Transport also, they are understanding by 5 million. The understanding has, that is the ordinary, and they were outstanding invoices actually, it's already committed. They incurred the services in March, but by the end of March, they haven't yet paid the service provider. And those are the outstanding invoices actually, which they have to also request the error over. The Department of Sports, Arts and Culture, this is a community library service grant. There was a problem there also, the late appointment of contractors for the construction of libraries. We have also reflected the places, the land, Carola's Day, Petros Villa and so on. That is where the libraries are not yet built. The main reasoning there was a change in specification by the Department of the Public Affairs, and then that led also to the delays of in terms of the procurement and the tendering processes. The next slide is the summary of the overall expenditure of the province. This summary includes also the conditional grant. The province has spent 98.8% of its adjusted budget, and then underspent by 171.5 million. That is the net underspending. Then what I'll do then, the next slide is just to explain the underspending, the economic classification. What causes that underspending, which I can actually showing the underspending and overspending. Then the next slide, which is the provincial summary, the economic classification, but this is the same as the slide on the previous page, but it's for economic classification. Slide 17, we are showing the item 171, which is over and under expenditure, just to explain there what are the reasons for the over and the under expenditure. If you look at the office, let me just target the bigger amount, the legislature. They are spent by under capital, 23.4 million. This amount actually was for the renovation of legislation. By the time we receive the specification from the Department of Public Works, we were told especially that this legislation is ready to procure, to procure and so on, but it seems as the time goes, then there was a change also in the design. Then now they have decided to implement this renovation on phase. Phase one will have already started in this financial year.
because we have already given them the money, then now they have to surrender the money back so that we can only allocate what they can utilize per annum. That is what we have agreed with them, because if we roll it over again as it is, then they will continue on having understanding. The other one is the Department of Education. I think the Department of Education, more than any other thing, let me start with the non-personnel transfer and subsidies. There is a negative overspending there by 12.2. There is a challenge which has been offered by the other provinces, a massive resignation of teachers, because they want to catch their attention. Then it also now results to the leave gratuities on all of the... those leave gratuities are not budgeted for. Then they impact on the budget of the department. And then the 50 million on that capital, that is part of the conditional capital I already indicated. Let me now go to the Department of Public Works, Roads and Public Works. They are showing a negative balance there under capital of 56.7 million. And then if you look at the far right, there is an understanding of 37.9. There is a misallocation. That means the money for the capital has been allocated under goods and services. That's why the goods and services are showing the underspending, and then the capital is showing an overspending. There are busy now, that's why I'm saying that this is a preliminary. They are busy now passing general entries to correct what they have done there. It's not really an over or an under expenditure. The other issue, sports. I have already indicated sports, what is the problem there when it comes to capital. It's dogs and libraries. And then the other issues also, other transfers and goods and services. You see there is a negative balance on the transfer, and then there is a positive balance on the other, on goods and services. It's the same error where the money which belongs to transfer payment has been allocated under goods and services. Then also here, the general entries will be packed during the financial year. And the other one, health. As I already indicated the health in the conditional grant, that is, there is an understanding there. Then the one which is worrying is the 60 million, which according to the department is a result of accrual. That means the previous year's accruals were funded in this current financial year. Then there is a hedge to that expenditure. The Department of Agriculture is the same issue, the general entry. The issue on under capital, it's cash money, cash equivalent. 62.7 million, which is over expenditure, and then if you look there under goods and services, on the far right, there is 47 million. Then again, there is a misallocation of the cash money under goods and services. All those, then, they will be corrected before the books. The next slide is the compensation of employees. Like all other provinces, we are underspending there by about 72.3 million. There was a challenge also that underspending, the issue of IDF, which was not necessarily funded by from the national fiscus. And then as a province now, we took the initiative that there was a moratorium, that is, those posts which are funded must not be filled, so that we can be able to accumulate funds to be able to pay the ICF. But unfortunately, sometimes it seems that the calculations themselves were not necessarily as what we thought it would be. But most of the time, it's the non-filling of funded posts. This understanding. The analysis, the health and the education, I will not go through there because I have already talked about the two departments. And can we just look at the infrastructure? The infrastructure, the province has in total budget is 2.2 billion. Oh, that is what I said, budget, and then we have spent 2 billion, which is 97%. There is the understanding of the 2%. That, because the infrastructure itself, the majority is the constitutional grant. I have already talked about the constitutional grant. We have also listed the expenditure report by nature of investment, which are maintenance and repairs, rehabilitation, renovation, and repair, the upgrading and the additional. Then this is the department, which I think the member would remember because it's very much a civil affair, then they can just reach the department. But in summary, we have the province spent 97, only 97%. The majority of amount will be rolled over. The next one is the bank balances, the cash flow, and the debt overdraft. As a province, when we close, we still close with the positive balance, which is 1.3%, meaning that the province is actually in a very good position. We are not using the overdraft. We last used overdraft in 2010-11, and then from there, we always close with a positive balance. You see that where you see a negative balance on the paymaster general's account, it shows that the departments themselves have an unauthorized expenditure. That's why that you see that negative balance. But the exchequer actually offset that negative balance that overdraft. Hence, the banks are not necessarily charging us on the overdraft because we have our system which is called set off. I have already explained slide number 29, and then slide number, the graph there is just showing previously how our position look like, and then currently we are floating up, not below the water. And then the next slide is just a cash flow per month, that is closing balance per month. That is this year, when if you look at 2014-15, the bank balance was higher. The closing balances, and then in 2015-16, it was a little bit lower. Then it showed that there is an improvement on the expenditure. Then less amounts we are, I invested. Let's go now to accruals. That is a little bit. In total, it's 1 billion, of which public works is 536 million. The issue of public works most today is the 280 million in terms of rates and taxes. There is a challenge, I don't know about the other provinces, but in our province, we are having a challenge with where the constitutional grant doesn't even come closer to cover this this amount. How, as a province now, we need to really look at exactly what could we do, where will we get the money for the rates and taxes, because this also impacts on the municipalities. But we will already, the provincial vision and the Department of Public Works have prepared a memo to EXCO so that a decision can be taken. And I was told also that the Public Works is also going to present to the cabinet, especially on the areas on the rates and taxes. But I'm not sure whether it was true, but that is what the Public Works has talked to us. But what needs to happen now, that the annum we need to budget it properly. Then how are we, where are we going to get the money? That is where now we need to sit down. Because per month it should be 161 million, but the grant which was paid in Quintabrochet amounts to only 54 million. Then the difference is a very challenge. That's why the department itself is not able to pay. Education at least 57 million. That 57 million, education is managing it. There is no problem there. We don't have a problem. Where we have a problem is the Department of Health. They are completely out. They are not able to manage that. But as a treasury, we are going to intervene, as MEC have already said by Resolution 18, we have already established a center for capturing of all the invoices centrally, because we will be centralizing now all the invoices until everything becomes all right. You can see then there are older invoices which are more than 30 years, and then some of them are more. I'm sorry. Sorry, 30 days. But what we have also discovered was that there are those who are old for 6 months. Now you ask yourself, is there any who can stay for 6 months without taking the department to task? Then there is a need there for us to at least get a little bit deeper on the problem. The unauthorized expenditure, irregular and wasteful expenditure. The unauthorized expenditure, the total amounts to 391. But as a province, in our debt redemption strategy, we already have 200 million to test the scope to authorize part of that 391. There was a decision by EPSCO that is any expenditure which has been unauthorized expenditure which has been incurred after 2012-13, it must be a direct charge from court of the department. We have already implemented that. We were able to accumulate 174 million. Then we will be also taking that 174 million to SCOPA to authorize. Then by the end of the year, we'll be having only 17.4 million unauthorized expenditure. Then the irregular expenditure, and there is a mistake there, we said billion, actually it's billion, 8.2 billion. And the most department who are, when it comes to irregular, Department of Health is approximately more than 4 billion. And then the Department of Education, more than 2 billion, and COXTA, what is this, is the Department of Corporate Governance, Human Settlement, and Personal Affairs. The problem with them is that they are transferring the money to the municipalities, and then the municipalities, when they come to the procurement, that's where the problem is. And then now when the municipality is met up, then it's transferred to the department. That's why they are having that, a lot of what we call irregular expenditure. But another thing that is no investigation is a cumulative one. It's not necessarily for 1 year. The cumulative one is a year, because there is a lack of investigation, and then there is also a lack of action to those people who have flouted the amount. The fruitless and wasteful expenditure is 119.4. Also the same issue. There is no investigation, there is a cumulative figure for 4 years. Then we are currently assisting the department in this regard. And therefore, in each and every single forum, then this is an agenda, independent agenda. Then on that note, Chairperson, thank you very much.
Thank you to the provinces. Thank you sitting there at the back. He's representing the Auditor General's office. So they are also listening very carefully and making their notes. Because that will be one of our meetings when we come back after the elections on the list to engage with Auditor General as well. If you go back on the members to the presentations of last year, there. Again, agriculture. Low spending on the grant. Again, libraries, low spending on the grant. It's forming a trend. And that's what we have to address. The late transfer of monies from the provincial treasury to a specific municipality. Say, in February, March, but it's expected for them that you must now spend the money. And they can't because it's a small municipality. It's one of the reasons this figure looks like this, because I've got that experience in my region. That's what I check. Because the library on the MEC is led to a school. That's where the learners go to do their assignments, is in the library. And that's why the spending is so crucial in terms of the infrastructure, to keep them that facility. Leave it there. I can carry the weight of this. intervention in health. Thank you, MEC, Northern Cape, in the Popo on education. The role of the finance committee in the provincial legislature, SCOPA, and the relevant committees. To dig deeper into information when presentations is done by the specific department. And the quality of the information that is presented in that meeting. That is crucial. Because that will inform the type of decision that committee is going to take, referring to quarterly reports coming. We have in the financial year. So the one thing links on to the others. That's where the scheme should be when these structures are very relevant. All the members' questions, please be short and to the point. Questions, although not Lashidi. He's from the Northwest Province. Anyone else? Questions? Right now to each province. You see, honorable members, what is important of this meeting is to get the figure from the province, what is my budget, what is my expenditure, what is my surplus or deficit, but these last four pages is very crucial. Because that gives your fiscal position. That's the real picture. And that's what we request to the National Treasury. In budget council, that slide must also come onto the screen. Because that gives the real picture to the minister and the deputy minister of finance. It's crucial. That's where parliament comes in to inform ministers, minister, this is a picture of nine provinces in South Africa. Are there any other questions? Honorable Muhari. He's from the Free State, a former MEC, also the finance. Yeah.
Okay.
Anyone else before you speak? What about the bond?
Oh, I'm not that.
Okay. No. He's engaged with the sessions. What about the bond? Anyone else? None. In that session, what was you being?
Oh, no, thanks for not being chapter.
I don't know why. Shortness week, please.
I'll do that. Chairperson, let me start by welcoming the presentation that we are at least getting a picture of what is happening in the provinces, and one of our tasks as Parliament is to ensure that appropriated funds are accounted for. We are not policing, we are only really doing our work. And as we interrogate these reports, it is not meant to be in any bad faith whatever. But Chair, I will try to summarize it and not go slide by slide. I have observed, yesterday we received a presentation on big funding.
Yeah.
Limpopo, Northern Cape, because they are here. The picture was not good about your big spending. And the province is here today. Perhaps they should shed light as to what are the challenges. And where are the problems and how to be attempt to overcome them. I'm also worried about cutting across the provinces that they reported today. Over expenditure on goods and services. I'm not sure are we following the cost containment that pronounced by the minister. Because across all provinces, there's over expenditure. Now, the last point that I want to make. You know, all provinces are reporting on irregular food, wasteful, and unauthorized expenditure. But as they report that, if you know, it's just a wedding, it's beautiful, it's very top, they got married, and it was wonderful. My concern is that the figures that are reflected here, I would not go province by province to say no touch. Is that nobody speaks about resilience management in terms of people who do all these things that we have irregular, fruitless, unauthorized expenditure. No province gives us measures that they want to, that they have planned to Zimbabwe. Except to say there will be an age man's and a item on the agenda. But somebody has committed this thing, and somebody must account. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Mohai.
Well, thanks, Chair. And I think I also want to join my colleague here, Honorable Mufashubi, first in acknowledging the report we received, and that will be useful for committee to go much in depth in really synthesize the information and also go back to provinces in our interaction, because their consent is not the one of in engaging with the provinces. And I think the field we take in here will be following what the Minister of Finance emphasized, I think, in presenting the budget, that sound management of public finances are a cornerstone for a development plan. I think it should be quite of interest when we take with pleasure to get the canvas that we together looking at the issues in the same way in terms of ensuring that the countries discussed are able to are responsive to the needs of the people. So I think it's important, I think the issue that a lot of people should bring raised around issues of class, I think particularly under the current environment, it's important, I think, to pay dedicated attention in addressing those issues. I know it's easy to say, you can explain, regionalize doesn't mean that you cannot account for services we're provided, but it's just that it's important to relate to those issues, especially within the framework of the planning framework of our country. There are a few issues I want to raise. The first one, I think, is in provinces. The 30-day period, the payment of small, medium enterprises. For me, its significance is in relation to the current economic environment. If we say the current economic environment requires drastic measures to work, there's no reason why, as government, provinces, not stimulate that industry, small activity, because it's very crucial. So non-payment of them has got some negative impact in their survival. If you look into accruals in all provinces cut across quite high. So we really need to look into that matter. So that it's not a chronic problem. We find a way of, like if you look into developing economies, when they say the backbone is SMEs, part of what they do smart is attending to this issue of SME. Yes. Because I'm relating, I want to relate my question to, I think this is for further clarity from the MEC. I think he brings the point that there is slow industrialization and beneficiation. But I just want to benefit more that since the State of the Nation Injunction 2014, the President spelled out that 75% of local procurement, state departments and state-owned enterprises where we have to ensure that local procurement is up to 75%. I just want to, because now we review also whether or not some of the things are working. Why the lack of support of local manufacturing, or what are kind of problems that present themselves with regard to this? I know that recently Minister Rob Davis said something about the IPAP in terms of stimulating, ensuring that we address the bottlenecks. But that practically some of the challenges that the province is pointing out, it would be helpful for us just to flag those areas. Thank you.
Dr. Blanche is from the Western Cape, actually from Washington.
Chairperson, thank you. I am sort of covered by my two previous colleagues. But I think, you know, I just want to mention so that, you know, you're sort of a general trend. And, you know, I find it quite interesting that just about across the spectrum that we have, you know, you have, you know, overexpenditure on goods and services, and then quite often you have an under-expenditure on you know, infrastructure is once again the problem there. And then again, you know, you have also interestingly, you have quite often here also an over expenditure on, you know, personnel and personnel and, you know, remuneration and stuff like that. I am really concerned about that, and I must be honest, I really appreciate what the people are doing and, you know, from where they're coming. So I really do appreciate that. Starting with the Eastern Cape, it's quite obvious that they are still, you know, they are faced with quite a lot of challenges from, to the extent that I'm sort of seriously concerned about the things that they need to rectify this for. Getting to Limpopo, we very appreciate where you're coming from. That was quite a turnaround. But at the moment, on a lighter note, apparently you are running an employment agency there, you know, employing a lot of people, and I don't know exactly what they are doing. You know, if you see the amount of your budget left for, you know, the actual good of the public, I don't know what that huge number of people are doing there. So, Chairperson, that's just my concern, and, you know, we cannot allow this thing to go on. You started your observations by referring to things that were the position last year also. And we need to see some drastic changes. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Any other colleague from Bob Eshak? Bob Eshak is from Mpumalanga.
Chairman, yes, thank you for the opportunity. Chairman, I've listened to all the presentations. A lot of positive stuff coming out. I'm not a critic as such because I'm an optimist. But when I look at the National Treasury's report, and I'm just going to skim very, very fast because I realize that we are pressured as far as time is concerned. Northern Cape, fruitless and wasteful expenditures increased from 9 million 2010-11 to 199 million 2014-15. Northern Cape, health, fruitless and wasteful expenditures grew from 1 million to 41 million in 2014-15. I'm just skimming very fast. Irregular expenditure in the Northern Cape, almost 8 billion in 2014-15 financial year, which is an increase from 2 billion in 2010-2011. Irregular expenditure, 666 million in 2010-11 to 2 billion in 2014-15. The Department of HOPTA, Human Settlement and Division Affairs, also incurred significant unauthorized expenditure in the 5-year period under review. But 16 million in 2010-11, that has now increased to 55 million in 2014-15. That's not in care. I'm not going to just go through every detail. If I might, with your permission, Chairperson, if you look at the comments of the Eastern Cape, good presentation. It sounds like you've got millions coming, sir. Sounds great. But, you know, health and education, we've had a 279 million and 71 million fruitless and wasteful expenditure in 2014-15. We're huge contributors to the overall 371 million in that financial year was just lost. 105 million in 2010-11 to 371 million in 2014-15 for fruitless wasteful expenditure. So it's not all good and well that, you know, you're progressing, you're getting a lot of money, there's huge investment, but something is wrong at home. Irregular expenditure. It's also noted that those in public works, highest irregular expenditure amounts of 75 million in 2010-11 to 3.1 in 2014-15. So, I don't know, Chairperson, I'm not trying to paint a pessimistic picture, but, you know, with due respect, to sit here as part of this committee, I listen to all this presentation. It sounds all well and good, and we're progressing. I ask with due respect, you know, you will come back here next year. What picture will you bring to us again? Where is the money going to in terms of the deliverables? If you've got billions and billions in the country that has been wasted on fruitless and wasteful expenditure. Chairperson, I thank you.
I swear this committee's oversight program kicks in August. We start with the Western Cape for a week. And the honorable members will be advised each week in August. We're busy with that one. Program, finance and appropriations. Because it's one thing to get the presentation here, you must go outside and relate what has been presented to what's happening at grassroots level. That's very crucial. That's where our provincial weeks come in as NCLP, to go to your province and to zoom into what was presented, linked to the activities in the provincial legislature. I don't want to add up this integrative approach is not only us here. The questions are crucial. I think that the President said and the Minister of Finance, repeatedly, we can't spend money we don't have. It's like your own finance. Yeah. 15 minutes, I'm looking at the time. There's not many questions. There was not a lot of sequence questions to each problem, starting with the portal Eastern Cape and Northern Cape. And
I'll also actually just to talk about the regular food and waste of expenditure. But I think the first question asked by the honourable member regarding MIG, we have now set up a team within Treasury that is fully capacitated with the appropriate skills. When I'm talking about skills, I'm talking skills in the built environment. And we are assisting municipalities to spend their MIG. If we don't see they're spending MIG, we move the money to municipalities that are spending. However, that doesn't solve the problem. The problem that we need to solve is that each municipality must have the capacity to send that 2 billion rand that we get from the equitable share. So we are doing that. We are also holding quarterly meetings with each and every municipality in Limpopo where we discuss the MIG spend amongst other matters. So when we see there is that bottleneck, then we immediately do intervene where we can intervene. We have got those skills now within public works, which we then use, and we've got GTEC that are assisting us as well with regard to that. I could agree with you more about the sound management of fiscus. Payment 30 days, it is fundamentally important that we pay everybody within 30 days. We should do some serious work within education and health. They're the ones with the biggest invoices. They are around 69 to 60% in health. Education is a little bit better. And as I mentioned at the end of my presentation, health we're going to have to not necessarily Section 18 intervene, but definitely to work on their efficiencies and how they can improve their efficiencies. You know, Honourable Chair, we currently are sitting with one of those issues that are not very pleasant to have hanging over ourselves, and that we pay more over time than any other province in the country. And I think it's something that we need to look at. Why are we paying that over time? Are we getting a bang for that over time, etc., etc.? So it's something that we will be looking at going forward. Yes, with regard to over-expenditure on goods and services, yeah, it's not acceptable, and it comes back to your procurement planning. Are you planning your procurement appropriately? If you had to have a look at our expenditure in the POPO in the last quarter, you will see there's definitely a hockey stick effect in the last month of March. It happens. So something that happens. Whether it's a good thing or a bad thing is a debate that we can have, but it all comes back to whether we plan appropriately when it comes to procurement and how we do it going forward. I'll also actually just to talk about irregular and wasteful expenditure. Deliverables are very, very important. Honourable Isaac, it's true for us to see that we are giving, that we are actually having an impact. We have given you an indication that we think we are doing an impact. It's now for us, as the Honourable Chair said, monitoring and evaluation. Are we getting the appropriate reports when it comes to the monitoring and evaluation? Are we indeed improving the health of people, the citizens of Limpopo, etc., etc.? So it's something that we will be managing. And by the way, when we do have our quarterly bilaterals with departments or municipalities, I generally request that the CFO stands up and puts his hand on his heart, his left hand in the air, and says, I will not spend the money that I do not have to help me who really wants to ask for the help. But it's very important that we do inform them and insist that there is no spending money that you don't have. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you for that strict rule. Mr. Brad?
Thanks, Honourable Chair. Good morning, Honourable Members. I think the concern around irregular and wasteful surplus is seriously considered and taken to heart. Most of our irregular supply chain irregularities, where agencies extend contracts above the 50% that's been set by National for those in goods and services, and I must be on through the intervention, we had to extend a number of security contracts, the feeding scheme, etc., while they were trying to sort out the issues that we had there. So automatically we did incur some irregular expenditure which National's aware, and obviously we've been in the process of regularizing those, getting those approvals in place. But I think it's really a lack of understanding of the supply chain processes that we need to improve. As a province, we've developed now what we call standard operating procedures for supply chain, rolled out to all our provincial departments. And that's really put a dummy's guide to supply chain, if I can call it that, to make sure that when accounting officers signs off for a tender, things have been signed and considered properly by the relevant officials that report to him or her. So we really need to improve our skills in the supply chain area. We're now looking at what we want to call a quality assurance mechanism for a tender that we've put a limit at 10 million now, but obviously it's depending on the nature of the tender also. Where we as Treasury will be involved as observers in the tender process and give HOD a quality assurance that in fact she can or he can sign off that tender that has been awarded and that the process has in fact been followed. I think another issue that we do find is the cancellation of tenders, and we normally find that there's some sort of interest and it didn't get the right party. And hopefully through this quality assurance process that the procedures would have been followed and the accounting office would not have an opportunity at the very end to cancel a tender for reasons that are not known to both us as Treasury and the department involved. So we're trying to strengthen our supply chain processes. In terms of fruitless, I think it's quite a bit of interest, and we do have a challenge around our Eskom and Telkom accounts. Telkom we've at least engaged with now, where we get their invoices electronically so that it doesn't mind someone's there somewhere. But Eskom, we do have a small challenge with us in that they need payment within 15 days of invoice. And where the PFMA says we must pay 30 days from date of receipt of the invoice, so there is a timing difference there. But we are engaging with Eskom in our province to try and look at that process too. It's not the only fruitless and wasteful that we have. There are some procurements also that have been identified. People not going to credit accommodation bookings that have been made and don't attend the particular meeting. But those are now being recovered from those affected officials where we have been investigated and found that to be true. On unauthorized expenditure, I think as a province we've come from the dark ages of 2.7 billion when the intervention started. We've now paid out that 2.7. So the 2.7 has been cleared, but we do still have 500 million that again was through education and a little bit through health. But I must say in the last 2 years we haven't overspent the budget, but within the program in the budget there's been an overspend. So it's a bit of discipline that we need to look at. But our cash flow management will not allow our department to overspend their vote because the cash won't be there, so the payment won't be honoured by the bank. We do have a challenge in the CIE or the compensation where unfortunately we do not have control on that. There's a national system that will honour those payments, but we'll then cut back on their goods and services payments. I think that's also an area that we're looking at, but I think in the last 2 years we've managed to manage that. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chair. I think on the question from the party, the risk to industrialization, something which you alluded to in terms of our presentation, that we are working together with the GTI to revitalize some of the areas that have been in the past centers of being upgraded industrial park, which is the case now. One of the other areas is that on the public procurement space, something which initially was interpreted by the fact that some decisions on centralization of procurement would focus at the national level, taking away some of such instances from the provincial side. The example is on the land of what materials, where they're talking about the infrastructure that you have at the desk and so forth, which was the responsibility of the national department. So that has since been approach taken by us. The leadership has taken decision to adopt some procurement framework which supports the fact of localization in terms of that benefit. Because initially the local related procurement has been defined in terms of the country. Now we're logging it into the provincial space, which ought to consider
some of the benefits that would accrue in as far as the province is concerned. That term framework will be assisting us on this both area and shopping at the site. As part of the presentation, I think we've made it clear that the areas that we're looking at are textile and clothing, construction, medical supplies, school furniture, leadership of material. But if you look back into those products, you can find out that those who are playing their role there, and that mainly, you mainly find them in the Western Cape, or in KZN, in terms of our own case, we want to change that kind of a picture to ensure that we use our government power to localize and beneficiate in terms of the federal regime. Another area is in relation to the establishment of bear farms to change that approach in terms of agro-processing, but we have primary agricultural produce, which is somewhat processed at the provincial level, no longer live in the province and process food out there. So that is somewhat ready for such that has been established. We're working together with the Department of Agrarian Reform to establish some of the areas that relate to agricultural so we are attaining that process of re-industrializing the province that going forward. And then the 30-day payments agreed, that is one of the key instruments of showing that the SMEs would find some kind of encouragement in doing well at the provincial level. Treasury will monitor that quite appropriately. We were one of the first provinces where we piloted central registration in terms of the data that ought to be kept by all parties in terms of government, and that is assisted in terms of monitoring the capability of the government to ensure that we meet what we ought to pay for as far as all the SMEs are concerned. We monitor that quite strictly. And then on the area that relates to irregular focus expenditure, we will deal with that. And then other areas, the zone of focus, though we are working hard with municipalities to kind of make to ensure that they're monitoring the expense there. We, from time to time, communicate with National Treasury on municipalities who are affected so that we somewhat find a way of supporting them. Because within Treasury, we've established a municipal finance unit, which is working very hard ensuring that municipalities receive the same capacity and support in as far as the MSMA is concerned. So we are working with them to improve their capability around the expenditure patterns, you see, as far as the MIC is concerned. Actually,
thank you, Honorable MEC. Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members, Honorable MCs, my colleagues, good evening. Mine is simple, relating to the issues of irregular expenditure, wasteful and fruitless expenditure and unauthorized expenditure. The key in this is the identification of the process. We're going to acknowledge and identify that it is a fundamental issue within the problem. The question is then, what do you do? Then? It is where then we got to say it. We need to, it, yes, there are others which have gone through into the system. We've identified them and we need to make action to get to that. Which of them in relation to these things? And we're going to say, when we're doing the action, we've got to realize that there are some of the gaps which came in. The issue of that from the department, that is the reporting. You know, sometimes you get an irregular expenditure which gets reported only at the year end. Kind of scrutinize that immediately. It's clear. If you ever made here, you report that, you know, within a certain period of time. We said that they must report that at that particular time. Failing which is an issue, it's a consequence. We should need to deal with a specific department, of course, which is delegated function, which is the accounting officer of that department. So now, what we had to do then, taking these kinds of significance, we then developed what to call a financial accountability model. Within the financial management accountability model, what it has, it's having a consequent management framework, where we say that on a monthly basis, for example, if you are underspending by so much, in this significance, we deal with this. if you've got history to like expenditure within this, and to take it long in order to investigate and conclude, these are the actions which we've done in relation to this. In addition, they will also have what you call a PCMT, the Provincial Committee, Coordinating Management Committee, which deals overall with effectiveness and efficiency within the province. What it does is it assesses overall the issues of defending, and then are we getting the value for money which is derived in the province? And then where we feel that in terms we're not getting the value for money, of course, what happens is that the technical people will go on the ground to assess some of these things. Then that's where we, as provincial treasury, will then, you know, use our Section 18 in order to topsize relevant departments to say that we don't think we are getting the value in that kind of an aspect. So then your wasteful effort should have been avoided in any way. And then on that, we were going to topsize you with this kind of relevant effort. So those are the things. And you see the unauthorized expenditure, which you see specifically for health. Health one, it is in its instance. Generally, health, it had 129 million underspending in that particular year. Not last year, that particular year, 14 and 15. But now, if you take the aspect that the, what you call it, the FMA environment limits, the code means, well, if you've overspent on one program, it means it's an unauthorized expenditure. So now, we have to deal with it in that process. But first of all, dealing with this issue of medical legal, because they couldn't ship any more error in terms of to cover the medical legal claim. Which came. But now we have to test the validity of that kind of an element. We take the whole period, and then after we're comfortable, we say, okay, we can devote back, you know, that kind of 90 million. So that is the unauthorized expenditure which was pertaining to health. And of course, there has been a lot of engagement with health in terms of what we partnered with them in terms of the improvements. A lot of improvements which came to health in the kind of the process. So, Honourable Chairperson, I think that in that kind, the issue of which we've gone to realize from the SEM was the issue of the some departments, they are not taking the procurement plan. It's very serious. I mean, they do them, you know, starting with saying, I'm complying 100%. Mm-hmm. But now the value derived of compliance is not exactly adding up. And find yourself with a situation where tenders get finalized only in the second quarter of the year. And or if they are not finalized, what happens in that department? What if they plan to delay the process so that you say that this learner teacher material, support material, for example, you say that now there are two different kids who are supposed to get these things, not to get this. So the first thing is for you to delete. So that's why sometimes some of these things come into the panel will delay up until the time where you literally provide a deviation. So you say, so what we have to do, then we brought in what you call it an iBerg. You know, an iBerg which more of oversee all the procurement in terms of the department. So everything which has an excess of certain value has to go through the ISAC and then go through the procurement plan. So I think you should.
So you've got the plans to addressing the issue. It's very important that we learn best practices from each other. It's very crucial. Sorry, are you done? Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I will not necessarily sing the same song because there are other provinces who are in the same, and then also our structures on how to handle the irregular expenditure. But I may just mention the fruitless and wasteful. Why we are intervening in health so that we can manage the accruals is because of outstanding invoices. The longer they are, the more they attract interest. Then it's recorded as an irregular. That is what we are, why we are intervening in terms of Section 18 in health, so that at least we can be able to minimize and then to clear those accruals. And then immediately we address that, the fruitless and wasteful expenditure automatically will reduce. And another issue which, especially in health, those litigations, also when they are audited, you find that it's the recommendation, the department should have prevented that. If they should have prevented that, then it will be recorded also as a fruitless and wasteful expenditure. Those are the high issues, especially in health, which we said now we need Section 18, that the intervention itself, full-time, is on support,
on both supply chain and also this issue of accruals. As I said, that is, we are establishing, we are centralizing the capturing of all invoices. We are centralizing all the order books. They must be centralized until that time we train those people in the region on how to order and so on. And when we centralize it, surely, they will order to the head office and they will be able to control this discrepancy, especially on the accrual, because you can see there that there are lots of invoices which are in transit, which by the end of the year, then they turn appear and then they into that. That is what we are as a treasury we have. And then, as I said, the fruitless and wasteful expenditure, if we manage that one, then it will automatically reduce. The other issues, like our ABD region, like our provinces, we are also having a plan. I think also if this treasury can also be given that 2 by 7, 1, 2, 17, in terms of the treasury regulation, because there was an issue there that is, if an accounting officer does not take action, then treasury must take action. Currently, the DNA allows us to tell the department, to advise the department to intervene, but the action of investigation, and then after investigation you take action, is the accounting officer. There is nothing that says treasury, then you must intervene. There is a clause now in this amendment that is, the treasury can take action and take the accounting officer into task. Then, which I think in the end, it may also assist treasury not to be just an advisor, also to take action and say, well, the disciplinary action must be taken, whether it is an accounting officer or the officer concerned. Those are the other issues which I think they may assist us as treasury, that our intervention can be effective. And let's have the power to take action on the accounting officer, for instance.
Are you done? Honourable members, we are coming to the end of our meeting. The members left drinking this afternoon, that's why they're on the way to their house. The house will start ringing at 10 to 2. Honourable MECs, I should do something for honouring this meeting. This was a very, very crucial engagement. Financial accountability model. Thank you for doing that. When we engage with other provinces, we will have to suffer. What is case ends with Northwest, we meet on Friday. That's something that we can take forward. Continental Health Hospital in the Northern Cape, the Honourable Premier announced middle of the year, maybe August, that this hospital will become operational. Is it still on track? Because it was in the state of the province address. Intervention section 18, yes, that's true today, has been done by Limpopo in education, to try and turn education around. Other members, we are activists for good governance, we are activists for sound financial management. This message is the message of Parliament. Activists to improve the lives of our people, and give our people dignity. Yes. Water, sanitation, electricity, a roof over the head, a warm blanket, food on the table. Kids go to school, well clothed, school on footer. Yes. Books on the table, being skilled. Well, members, thank you for your presence in this meeting. Thank you for the staff, for the arrangements. We've got one set of minutes. If we can quickly deal with this, it was circulated, it was engagement with the National Treasury last week when we dealt with Gauteng and the briefing by Gauteng. And this is captured factually what we did, as well as the committee resolutions. Honorable Isaac proposes option, Honorable Blanche proposes a second. Honourable members, that brings us to the end of business of this meeting. Thank you, Mr. President.